Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
This week's Sunday session is brought to you by Homebrewing Source of Awesomeness Online. More Beer at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet-propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit, too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight. Yeah.
You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, welcome to the program, everybody.
Thank you.
Nice little Monday show. Back in the studio after a week off. Loving the schedule we got going on here.
Even though nobody else does.
You're the one on, one off.
One on, one off. It's fantastic. We are on next. It's pretty much evened out now, though. Although we do have a lot of Monday shows coming up. We're going to be doing that, alternating Monday shows, but not necessarily skipping a lot of weeks. Just our normal 1 week off a month.
I don't know. I have things going on Mondays that hard to replace. So maybe we can shift back to Sundays.
Well, we're on Sunday next week, but then the following week we're on Monday.
I don't like this.
Look, you can do D&D any day of the week, dude.
It's not that.
You can LARP on Tuesdays.
No. It's different.
Fine.
He's concerned his character might die if he doesn't give it attention.
I haven't played in 2 weeks.
Nope.
So I'm stressing out about it now.
I see. Is your guy losing fight points?
Fight points.
Or life points.
I wish they were fight points. I do have my 20-sided die right here, though, if you'd like to. Would you like to roll one?
No, I've heard you guys do that during that JP and Sully mixtape show. I hear you guys.
Well, we did it once.
Yeah.
My good friend Matt gave me this 20-sided die, so now whenever I have to roll like a dexterity check,
that
was the 6. I lost.
Right.
Yeah. Clearly, because it went down the
saving throw for your bad jokes.
I've never understood the dexterity check. I mean, what, you can't use your fingers really well now? if you don't roll a 20 on a dexterity?
Well, you know, it's for like, you know, if your character needs to like jump on a moving cart, let's say. Well, you know, you need to make sure that your character has an athletic check, which matches in his dexterity, I think.
What does Schumann and Beardy do at your house when you're playing D&D? Beardy's in on it?
Oh, yeah. He's soup, dude. That dude, we have all the PDFs of like all the version 4 books. That dude's read them all on his phone. And he's like half blind, so he puts it up to his face, and he's just really scrolling through it.
Right.
And it's hilarious. But
what does Schumann do when he comes home and you're all out there LARPing?
He comes... Firebolt! He comes in like at 8:30 or 9, and we all chant Schumann real loud, and he goes...
He makes a stupid face.
Yeah, and then he comes in, stands, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Basically same thing you do every Monday.
Yeah.
We're LARPing.
And then he turns around, and I don't know.
He doesn't say. He's not interested?
No.
It's too bad. I'd love to. I thought that maybe Schumann would get into the D&D.
So did I.
I thought he'd want to be a dragon master.
I think he wants to, but he just gets home late on Mondays.
Right. Yeah. It's too late. You can't start. You can't start at the end of the game.
No, life of a music teacher. You know, it's hard work.
Right. All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So,
hey, JP, didn't what? Now we were talking about it when I haven't even spoken to you about it off air. I kept forgetting to ask you, but you got to meet the president of the U.S. of A.
Yes.
How did that go?
No. Well, I didn't get to
Nate doesn't know. Nate wasn't
no,
here.
No. Really?
You didn't know that. Yeah,
no.
I got to meet Mr. Obama.
Oh, well, did you donate? Did you donate?
No.
No.
I'm surprised you didn't get arrested.
That's the bottom line there. You didn't donate. You're not a fan.
Clearly, if you're not on, if you're on their guest list to greet the president, they don't do any background checks. No,
right.
I was going to get
the radios weren't working.
Yeah, I was going to get to meet him, but that was not in the cards. However, we did see him. The viewing of the president. It was at Oakland Airport when Air Force One was coming in from Reno.
Yeah.
And it is weird because we had to go through the employee parking lot, and I didn't know what to say to the guard at the gate. I'm like, you know, I'm here to see the man leave on the thing, and I'm like, so yeah, I'm here to see, and he goes, the viewing of the president.
The viewing. It sounds like a wake.
Yeah, like it's, it took me back to maybe when like Abraham Lincoln's body was going through country. Right, right? Tasty, you were there, right?
You're like, I didn't know what happened.
I just made that. Yeah.
I just like, yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. I don't know. It was real uncomfortable.
Well,
but it was
cool. I thought Taryn said that she got to shake his hand.
Well, yeah. And so when he lands in that big, you know, monstrosity, Air Force One, he greets a few select people like the mayor of Oakland and stuff like that. And then he came over to us in the pin.
Okay.
And, you know, there were like 15 people. It wasn't really a whole lot of people.
So you shook his hand?
Shook his hand,
but you didn't get to talk to him. When you say you didn't get to meet him, you didn't get to say, hi, I'm JP. You just,
correct.
I see.
Did you have one of those buzzers in your hand, you know, like from 30 years ago?
Got you, fucker.
No, but I did want to pull a 24 where, you know, in that scene in the end of episode, or season 2, I think, where Mandy the Mad Bomber has like a fake handprint and shakes.
I never saw it.
David Palmer's hand. And,
I remember.
Sounds. Right. I'm sure it was awesome.
It was great. Oh man, 24. But it was cool to see all the tactical on the roofs and, you know, the big sniper rifles and the big giant like goggles just looking around and
right. Yeah. All zoomed in on you.
Yeah, you felt really important that somebody's pointing a gun at you for a minute or what?
Yeah, his paranoia was finally justified. They really were watching
seriously,
him.
Seriously, I had to take my hat up. No, so we go into this small building way off the tarmac on Oakland Airport, and I have two pairs of glasses. I have my normal ones, and I have my sunglasses. I have my sunglasses on, and my normal ones inside my coat pocket, my breast pocket. And so we go in, and I'm changing glasses, and I'm not even paying attention to what's going on, and I'm reaching in my pocket first, you know, opening my blazer pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling something out, and I kind of, the corner of my eye, I see these, like, big, burly SWAT team guys just all kind of look. And see what I'm
were
doing.
Were they reaching in their pockets as well?
they were just looking in case I pulled something out. I don't know. It was pretty cool to be under the watch of tactical.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good time.
And then you went to the president's rally after
then
that.
Then we went to the rally, yes, sir.
How'd you like that?
It was, I had to bite my tongue a few times.
Right.
But it was cool. It was cool to see. You know, I may not be a fan of his politics, but I respect the office a great deal. And it was awesome. It was awesome to be able to see a sitting president, you know,
in person
talking. Yeah, regardless if it's, you know, campaign gibberish or not.
So it sounds like it went better than your meeting with the mayor of Martinez.
It did go extremely, but yes, yeah. It did go. Although I was extremely gassy, and I had to hold it back.
I'm not sure you're ever not extremely gassy.
No, sometimes he's only moderately gassy.
Right.
That's, I mean, also true.
I don't know that I've ever been around you when you've gone, sure am free of gas today.
Well, I've only farted a couple times. Right now, there's no danger.
Right. Can we have Doc install a hood in the side, that side of the room?
I know.
JP can just get vented.
We might have to build him his own booth.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Susie Q's got her own booth now. It's almost fully up. Hey, Suze, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Sue's hanging in here and doing the chat room and the phones for us today. And the studio's coming together. Her booth is now glassed in, and we're soundproofing it. We're still kind of finishing the wiring and all that, so we got a temporary setup for her. But she's in the chat room now. You can hit the chat now button. How do you like it in there?
I like it a lot. I feel like I'm in a penalty box.
Yeah.
Watching all the action.
It is kind of a punishment box, if you will.
It was a hockey reference, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. Okay. Yeah, we're going to be hanging the one of those like slave chairs in the corner or whatever they are. Sex chairs, I suppose I should call
them.
The
slave chair.
The slave chair is totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
your
own.
Sex chair?
But the good thing is you can, you know, eventually you can close the door and when we're getting all creepy, you can just, yeah. You've got your own little world in there.
Can I decorate?
Yeah, we have to do some soundproofing first, and then you can decorate after that. Don't go too crazy, you know. I want it all Asian in there.
I don't get collars in, no dumbasses. Be nice.
I don't need all that Asian stuff in there. You know how it's all the same? It has all the twirly things at the end of the roof. And yeah, I don't need, like, lions and shit.
Yeah, and there's that little mini river where there's, piece, you know, sushi platters floating by.
I don't need that. I don't need, like, a water feature over in the corner.
Are you sure?
You know.
I'm at a pebble bubble pond.
Dude, get out of my head.
I don't need oriental tapestries all over the walls.
But it wouldn't hurt. You don't need them, but you want them.
Yeah.
You don't know you need them yet.
I just don't know yet. Because you got Bevo, too, and she's a round eye. She won't know what to do if it's too Asian in there. She won't know what's happening. And she's a little racist. So
yeah,
you got to be careful. But you guys share the space. You can decorate accordingly. We'll try to keep the men out of there so you don't have gas issues.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
It would be, but...
He just started saying he's gassy. I'll just shut this. Watch you guys suffer.
Right. Well, the top is still open. We haven't closed off the top for you yet. But
I didn't even see that. I'm too short.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we close that off, then, you know, there's no airflow.
You can hotbox yourself.
Yeah.
In there, you know. All right, well, I'm liking it, though. I think the booth is going to work out well, and hopefully you'll be able to take phone calls and make phone calls and do the whole thing without us knowing, you know. I feel like once we have a professional booth,
yeah,
we have to give the booth person more to do.
I agree.
Don't you feel like it becomes more of an official spot and that they need more things to do?
I agree.
You know, she's going to have segments and bits.
She has your own office.
You have your own office now. We're going to expect more out of you.
I can look busy.
You can just look busy, right? I was just thinking, be naked, by more to do.
That'd be different.
I don't know. We're gonna have to give her segments or something, Moscow. I feel like it's an official post with the sound wall.
Maybe I should just hand her the reins to my segments, and it'll just be like beer news with Susie, and you know, slow and stout with Susie or whatever the hell it's called.
Slow and stout.
Well, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Slow and stout.
Yeah, well, Bebo will be oh, hell no. I ain't doing that.
Yeah. What do you mean? What aren't you going to do?
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever it is you're thinking, no.
Anything more than what I'm doing right now.
Which is nothing.
Which is absolutely nothing.
And that's too much.
Do you think Bebo will breastfeed in the booth?
She already did.
She'll take advantage of it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She was the last show. I was on 2 weeks ago.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
In the booth?
No.
There was no glass, though.
No, there was no glass.
It's a different booth now.
Yeah. It's a completely different booth.
A whole different booth.
Think she'll squirt some on the window?
Oh, that'd be gross.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, if you get bored, just clean the glass or something, Susie.
Okay. I'm not a window licker, so like...
Right. That's a good point. We need a window licker.
We do. Where's Doc?
I'll tell you what we need is we need Moscow to go out and interview some of the Martians soon. Those Martians are crazy. And I'm not talking about the ones that the Mars rover just landed and going to meet. I mean the Martinez Martians.
I thought they were Venusian.
No, they're Martians.
That explains a lot.
No, those are blind, Scott. God.
No, we need a segment. We need a Meet the Martians segment. I know you're getting settled in. Moscow got a new house up in Concord. Moscow moved to Concord.
That's right.
Wow.
Right in my hood. We're moving neighbors.
Up, I think.
You know, the BN, it feels like the BN is moving up, but the staff is only going down.
No.
Concord. It's getting trashier and trashier.
You're the one who lives in Martinez.
I'm agreeing. That's what I'm saying. All of the staff,
well,
myself
from Pacheco,
included.
That's a step up. Concord's great. North Concord. That's designate proper.
I used to live two blocks or so from where your house is now, and although I was the worst neighbor in the neighborhood back then, I probably am now.
Yeah, you were a renter.
It was a renter.
It's a whole different story.
But Moscow moved from San Francisco to Concord. I mean, you got to admit. Aside from becoming a homeowner,
yeah,
it's a little trashier.
A little bit, yeah. It's all right. I basically moved from California to Nevada.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's affordable, but you're trash.
Right, and it, you know, it's super hot and it's a desert, but
right.
I can buy there. Yeah.
It's a desert. Had you ever been to his flat in the city?
No.
Yeah, it's a real bad neighborhood.
It's a crap can.
Yeah. Oh, it was?
Yeah, so in that regard,
that's probably why I never went.
It's an upgrade for sure.
I see.
The apartment was nice, but the neighborhood was a crap can.
Yeah.
I feel like we're building our empire out here in the East Bay. You know, we got Moscow moved out here. I know Nate's in San Leandro, know, and he just bought, so it's probably going to be a while before we can get him to migrate a little further east.
Never know.
But
it's the East Bay, though, at least.
Yeah, that's true. He is in the East Bay. We're all now in the East Bay. Well, no, Susie Q's still in the South Bay, right? So
far south.
She's still, and that's where all the Asians are, so it makes sense.
It's not my town. I have, like, it's 1% Asian, 99% white.
Oh, what's your town?
Los Gatos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
That's true. That's a good point. And you live with a white guy, too. You don't live with a white guy?
No.
Oh, I thought you lived, don't you have a, did I miss something? Do you still have a boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't live together?
No.
Oh, I missed that.
Smart.
Ah.
Smart.
Is that because you're doing your own thing? You're out there doing your own thing.
He's doing him.
No comment.
I'm doing me.
You got to do you, Seuss. Yeah. No comments at all.
I'd like to know the reasons. Oh, we'll get those later, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Let me ask you this. And you could just nod. I won't tell anybody. have you not been asked to move in, or you don't want to be asked to move in? It's... You don't want to talk.
It's real quiet over there.
You've not been asked. You don't want to.
The best part is
I'm glad we're getting to the bottom of this.
The nod after the head shake.
It's like both.
It's a continuous answer.
Yeah,
it's just
both.
Yeah.
I always forget your boyfriend's name. What's his name?
Shane.
I like Shane. I think Shane's
like
a nice.
Him too.
You do.
But do you like him?
I like him in his apartment, and I like me in my apartment.
There the twain shall meet.
Is Shane in Los Gatos too?
Yes.
You're both in Los Gatos.
Yes.
You probably live right next door to you. You're probably in an apartment complex. You're two doors away from each other.
Like, hands with like a little piece of string tied to it. With
yeah.
Glory hole.
All right. No. You're like, nothing. Leave me alone. Trying not to talk to you right now. I'm busy. I'm busy on Adult Friend Finder right now. Leave me alone.
Ashley Madison, dude. Leave it alone.
All right. Suze is in the chat room. Just hit the chat button on the homepage. You can also call 888-401-BEER, and we'll take your phone calls today all throughout the show. We'll try that out. We'll try that new technology out. And we got the booth going and see how that works. 888-401-BEER. We got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking about cask beer and how to serve cask beer at home. Now, JP and I were...
Yes. Making out.
Hitting the old brain time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like another way of saying trying to think back a long ways.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Oh, then yes, we were.
We have covered the cask topic a little bit way back when with Dave from Magnolia, you might remember. It might even have been in 2006, like our second year. And we talked about the differences in cask beer and how it might be served and things like that, but we didn't talk about doing it at home. And so today, we've got the founder and president of UK Brewing Supplies, Paul Pendick, is going to be on, and he's been importing UK cask equipment into the US for years, and he's really a fantastic expert on the subject, and he's going to talk to us all about how we can serve cask beer at home. So we'll talk about the equipment needed and the types of beer, and we'll get into even a little bit about whether or not we should change some of our brewing techniques to serve beer on cask. So we're going to be talking about cask beer today, and I'm excited about it because...
Yeah.
It's hard to find good cask served beer in the U.S., so it'd be nice to that homebrewers can do it.
Well, I think it's one of our last frontiers, too, our truly last, like, unbeaten to death topics, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where we have no idea. We're going to learn along with you at home.
Right.
You
know? I feel like legal prostitution and cask beer are like the final frontiers for the United States.
That's true.
You know, we've got a little bit in Nevada.
Well, a little bit, but, you know, really, it's not really that good.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. I've read Yelp. I've read a lot of Yelps.
Can you Yelp? I'm going to Yelp it. Can you Yelp the, what's it called? What's
Yelp
that place
the Bunny
called?
Ranch?
The Bunny Ranch.
Why not? Sure. That's actually how I get my softcore porn fix.
How awesome would it be if you can just read reviews of whorehouses on Yelp? Let's see. Bunny Ranch. Oh, it already comes up.
Wow. Well, it knows you. It's doing autocomplete for you.
Let's see. I should probably punch it. Where is the Bunny Ranch? Is it?
It's in, I think it's in Henderson.
Moscow.
I think.
I'm pretty sure. Address is 1,500.
No, it's not even Henderson. It's some weird podunk city that's not even close to Vegas.
Okay, Bunny Ranch, Henderson, Nevada.
That was a guess.
No, it's not coming up. Jaguar's Gentleman Cabaret is coming up, though. Oh. And that's got 3.5 stars. However, 2XS, which is the number 2 and the letters XS.
Oh, God.
That's in Las Vegas. 4.5 stars with 1,676 reviews.
Wow. And that's a brothel?
I am... No, no. It's a dance club. It's a strip club.
Oh, okay.
I am going to 2XS based on that. I didn't know. This is the first I'm discovering that you... I use Yelp for everything, but I've never used it for strip clubs.
We're
going to
lose Justin for another week here.
Why doesn't Bunny Ranch come up? Maybe Yelp has deleted it.
Or maybe people are too embarrassed to proclaim that they've been there by making a review.
Yeah, but sometimes it'll show up on Yelp even without reviews.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm thinking Yelp had something to do with this.
Oh.
Susie, what do you know about this?
Is the Bunny Ranch still open? I thought it shut down for a little bit.
Huh.
I thought it was still open.
Maybe I have to put in Moonlight Bunny Ranch. No, it doesn't help. What is interesting, though, is under 2XS is the Oyster Bar. And that's actually just a seafood restaurant. If you punch in Moonlight Bunny Ranch, Henderson, Nevada, the Oyster Bar comes up. And it's got great reviews.
I got it right here.
Also 4.5 stars out of 409 reviews. So
maybe there's something about a fish smell that connected to 2 reviews. I don't know.
I don't know. But
I found it on Yelp. There's only 4 reviews.
You found what?
Moonlight
the
Bunny
Ranch.
Did you not put in a location?
I actually just Google searched Moonlight Bunny Ranch reviews.
And it comes
first,
in on the
Yelp. Yeah, the
it
first
comes
thing
up as Carson City.
Read us
Nevada.
The reviews.
One's a real long story.
Okay.
Outside, you can see the ranch, which looks new and updated.
All right, that's enough. Yeah. Skip ahead to the other stuff. Just do a quick browse with your eyes. Anything good in there?
The bar, before we checked.
I chose the Puerto Rican one.
Before we left, we checked out their souvenir store, and I picked me up 2 shirts.
What do you get? Really? Are you going to wear that shirt? I mean,
probably.
Who wears a souvenir from the Moonlight Bunny?
Family reunion.
The madam...
Weddings.
The madam for that shift was cool and was asking us to come back soon.
Of course she was.
Yeah, well, you fucking hick.
I couldn't believe it. She asked me to come back soon. I spent money.
They love me. Ooh, this guy, Christopher.
What's he had to say?
From Concord, Mass.
Yeah.
3 stars.
Oh.
Out of 5.
He could take it or leave it.
Out of 5. He's like, I don't know. She was a little hefty. All right, I got to do other stuff. We might have to do a Moonlight Bunny Ranch segment where we just... Maybe we should do fake reviews and real reviews. You have to guess which is the real review.
We need to tie it in somehow with Moonlight Meadery and our buddy Michael.
Good call.
Great selection, but a bit pricey. Was it produce?
Great selection.
Farmer's Market?
I chose the organic bread. All right.
Wow, yeah, that's real boring.
I got a couple of announcements to get through real quick.
I asked how much to shave her legs.
An announcement that I'm excited about and proud to talk about is that the Brewing Network has its first homebrewing kit in the store. It's in the store right now, and it's our very first Hop Grenade IPA kit. And our good friend Nathan Smith and Tasty worked real hard on it. We all looked over the recipe. Of course, we let our hop guys just kind of run with it. And Nathan brewed the kit himself, of course, just to make sure everything's good. And after a couple of brews, in fact, I think we talked about this on one of the shows, got it dialed in. And so we've got our first ever homebrew kit, and you can buy it. It's a fully branded Brewing Network box, and you can get it in the store right now. And it's our Hop Grenade IPA. How would you describe the beer, Nathan?
It'd be about a 6% beer when finished,
I like
featuring
that.
A couple of new hop varieties. Apollo is one of them. And I think it's a nice drinkable IPA, a little bit lower on bitterness than maybe people might expect for a hop forward, hop aggressive IPA. But that's, you know, over our years of discussing the style, I think that's kind of something we can all agree on is something that we like.
Yeah.
A little bit dialed down in bitterness and not too harsh or astringent.
So. More hop flavor than
exactly.
Hop bitterness.
Focused on hop flavor and aroma.
More of a balanced beer.
I like that it's 6%. Of course, it's an extract kit, and we've used mostly liquid extract and a little DME to round it out.
Right.
Just to get that 6% up there.
And I think it's a beer that, even though it is extract, it's so hop-driven, I don't think that the extract side of it would detract from the beer much or even at all. I mean, that we, as a very skilled brewer, if somebody could approach that and make a killer IPA, it probably would fool people that it's an extract beer. Beautiful. I know it did when I brewed it. People were a little bit surprised that it was extract. And it was kind of cool to challenge my assumptions and brew an IPA that was not all grain based and still really enjoy the hop flavor and aroma. You can, you know, approach a beer from that perspective and get a lot out of it, I think.
So. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Nate just referred to himself as a very skilled brewer.
Well,
which he is, but it was just funny. I've never heard him say
roundabout
that.
Roundabout way.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you can get the kit right now in the BN store, and it is an awesome kit. Now, I know I've seen the questions already from some of the posts, you know, why is it only extract and not all grain? And it's kind of a complicated process. The reason it's taken us this long to get a kit out there is that we wanted it to be available everywhere. And so you're going to find this on the shelves of your local homebrew shops eventually. Right now in our store, people are going to be able to get it on Amazon. It's going to be all over the place. We wanted something easily accessible and shippable. So we will work on some all-grain kits in the future. I don't know when it's going to happen. We're working with a great company called Boxcraft Beer, and I really like the guys. In fact, the founder of it helped us with our BYOB TV show. He founded that with us and was one of the creators. So he's really into beer and into home brewing, and he came up with this idea and is getting it going. So buy Hop Grenade IPA right now and get them while they're hot and fresh, and then we'll be coming out with more recipes and kits as we go, and then we'll also eventually get into the all grain kits for you guys too, so you can just buy it and be ready to brew. But it's in the Brewing Network store right now, so grab it. Also, we got new glassware and merchandise in the store. It's all over the place. I got some new shirts I got to get on order.
Ooh.
And right now you can get the Hop Grenade goblets that people have been wanting there in there.
Oh, yeah. Those are going like crazy, too.
And a bunch of cool stuff. So check out the store. You can get the forum on mobile devices right now. Shop on Amazon through the Brewing Network. Do all your regular Amazon shopping, but click the link on the Brewing Network homepage, and we get a little cut of that. It really helps a lot, and a bunch of you have been doing that, and we appreciate it. The same goes with Micromatic. If you click the Micromatic banner on our homepage, it's right next to the player where you press play to listen. You can find the Micromatic link there, and all your kegging equipment that you find, in fact maybe some of the cask equipment that we talk about today, or different things, just click on the Micromatic thing and we get a little cut of that too. iPhone and Android apps are up and running, and they're in the store, and they're free. Just go to iTunes and search BN Mobile or the Android Marketplace and or Market or whatever.
I think it's called Google Play Store now.
Play Store now. Yeah.
All right, well, just search BN Mobile at either one. You'll find it, and it's free. Watch all this on justin.tv/brewingnetwork. Subscribe and join the BN Army. It puts you into the running for the More Beer monthly donation, which we do every single month, and somebody wins $100. You get an email from us and a $100 gift certificate for More Beer, as low as $2 a month. Plus, that puts you on the BN Army mailing list, which we've started giving a heads up to everybody before tickets go on sale, merchandise goes out, all of that stuff. Anything that's going to be rare or limited at the BN, if you're a recurring donor in the BN Army, you get the first notice of that by becoming a recurring donor. Just hit the donate button subscription for $2 or more. The more you donate, the more times your name is entered into the BN raffle. All these updates and more over on Twitter and Facebook. Send your show ideas to Scott the Jew over at scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. What's up, T-Bone? How you doing, man? Terrace the Black is in the studio. He's come by to say hey.
Yeah, I'm about to head over to Creek Monkey. Just wanted to stop by and say hi.
Yeah? You got people over there, or you just don't want to hang out
person.
Here?
Person.
My peeps.
Both.
You just gotta...
I have people over there and don't really want to hang out with you guys.
What? That's racist.
Is it somebody you met on Ashley Madison that you're going to meet over at Creek Monkey? Is that what you're doing?
No, it's not. It's actually one of my buddies from school.
So. White or black?
Have you met me? Of course he's white.
Right.
Black people don't like him.
Or Terrence. My nephew was in town this weekend, and Terrence came over to pick up the More Beer 1550, the Brewing Network More Beer 1550. Yeah, we're going to let T-Bone brew on it a little bit. We figure it was kind of not in use right now, so he's going to brew on that and come and report back how the brewing's going. You know, got to hook a new guy up, you know, let him play around. Terrence is really into the brewing right now, so I wanted to keep him excited, so we got him the system. Anyway, my little, you know, five-year-old nephew's over, and Terrence came over to pick this stuff up. He's the first black guy my nephew's ever seen.
What?
Well, he's out in the desert there. He's out in Lake Havasu, Arizona, and you don't see black guys there unless you're in jail. And it's a, you know.
He came running after you saying, there's a guy stealing stuff out of your backyard.
Actually... apparently, my little nephew's the only non-racist in the family. It didn't even faze him. He shook a brother's hand and turned around and walked away. He didn't even flinch, right, Terrence?
No, he was a cool kid. He acted like he was, like, used to us or something. Cool.
Yeah, and I know that he's never seen you before.
Well, what you didn't see is he went right into your stash of Purell and just...
No, he never asked me. He never said what was wrong with that guy. He never,
he's
nothing.
He's in the sun too long.
Yeah. And what would I tell him anyway?
I don't know.
But apparently, we've got one non-racist in the family, in the Crosley family. So that's kind of good. Anyway.
There's hope for the future.
Yeah. All right. For a limited time only, if you go to adamandeve.com, you'll get 3 free adult DVDs with your order. You know, you can pick from genres such as anal.
I think Terrence should read this.
Or Terrence, you want to do the Adam and Eve read for us? Just have a little fun with it. Yeah. You know, just pick a couple of copies. Make sure you read all the genres, though. Start with that. Yeah. What categories can you pick from, Terrence?
Well, you can pick from anal.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like anal. It's anal. Amateur.
Yeah.
Asian. Big breast. Big butts.
Yeah.
For all the brothers out there. Bisexual. Chunky.
Right.
Co-eds. Fetish. Gay.
Somebody's nervous about that one.
Well, you know, it's only a day after church.
No,
give your brother a break.
You don't want to say anything too funny and be offensive, so gay.
Is this just matter of fact?
Big pause. Okay. Interactive gay. Or point of view, lesbian, MILFs, etc.
Yeah.
And now you can shop on your mobile phone at adamandeve.com.
All right, how do you get all this stuff? I think that one's wrong anyway. Use coupon code BNARMY. But yeah. What do you get 3 free DVDs. What else?
You get 3 free DVDs and I think a gift that you can't mention on the air.
Yeah.
I always hear on the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Free shipping.
Free shipping.
And
your choice of all those categories.
And 50% off one item.
Yes.
So if you order the really expensive double-sided black dildo, mm-hmm. you can get 50% off that item.
Or that sex chair that you're going to get for the studio.
For the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50% off that. Go to adamandeve.com right now. Use coupon code BNARMY and you get all that good stuff. And also, it helps support us because they've been a long time sponsor by now.
Oh, yeah.
You guys must be out there buying stuff, and I like that.
Yeah,
they're not. And, you know, their offer has been a limited time offer this whole time.
Right.
I wonder how long of a period of time that is.
It's limited until they pull all their advertising, yeah. I think.
Maybe we need to figure that out. Maybe we've been offering all this stuff.
Right.
You know, I wonder if, like, there's some white girl in the Midwest somewhere who is only, her only black experience has been with a double-sided black dildo.
Right.
Goes away to college, meets a black guy, and just totally, you know, thinks that it's just a double-headed wiener, you know?
She's like, how come it doesn't come out the other side?
Yeah, like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah, you know what?
Those are the things I think about.
I like the way you think.
All right, thank you.
All right. We got to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll get into our topic for today. We're going to talk to Paul Pendick. He's the founder and president of UK Brewing Supplies. We're going to talk about cask beer. We'll do feedback a little later in the program. Plus, we got some beer news for you. 888-401-BEER if you have questions, or just hit the chat button on the homepage. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Homebrewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your homebrew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Are you a member of the American Home Brewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Home Brewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like pub discounts that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and eZymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love. And access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your home brewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join right now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Session.
Brewing up our next batch of radio gold.
Right now.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks for sticking with us. We got a lot to do today, and we're talking about cask beer, and we got our guest on the line right now, Paul Pendick from UK Brewing Supplies. Paul, you with us?
I'm with you. It's Pendyke, actually, but that's okay. Most people get it wrong. Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, don't worry. I will fire my producer after the show for giving me the wrong pronunciation, and we'll get it right next time, Paul.
No sweat.
Yeah. He doesn't like his job anyway, so we'll just get rid of him.
That's a win-win. It's a win-win.
It is a win-win.
He wins, we win.
Thanks for being on the program, Paul. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Now, you're actually not speaking to us from the UK right now. You're on the East Coast. Where are you at?
In Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay. How long you been living there?
Since 1981.
I see. And have you been bringing UK brewing supplies to the US since then?
No, I started that about 15 years ago.
Okay. What were you doing then? What did you come here for originally?
When I originally moved over here, the intention was to stay for about 4 years. I was actually in data processing. I was a programmer, but circumstances changed and ended up staying over here for obviously 30-odd years now.
Got it.
But when I started UK Brewing Supplies, I was actually in retail. I had a couple of CD stores, and but then it just kind of morphed into, I know it sounds weird, but I started selling home brewing supplies, and then it just kind of developed into the UK brewing side of things.
Got it. Were you a home brewer in the UK before you moved here?
Not in the UK. There's plenty of good beer over there. You know, 20 years ago, it was hard to get good beer in the States, and that's when I really got into home brewing.
Okay.
It was in America.
Got it. Yeah, and we hear a lot of that, you know, U.S. Homebrewers, too. A lot of guys that were in the military and things like that, who did traveling over in Europe, came back and discovered they couldn't buy any of that good beer. So, sounds like the same thing. So, you started doing homebrew supplies, did you have a homebrew shop for that, or was that out of your house?
No, I used to actually sell that in the CD store. I know it's a weird combination, but I've heard of weirder, but that's when I started selling that, actually. I started homebrewing myself and then got into selling the homebrew supplies, and then really just kind of developed into getting into specifically cask ale supplies and then actually really selling that more to businesses as opposed to homebrewers.
Okay, so more on the wholesale side for the cask equipment.
Yeah, breweries, beer bars, you know, brew pubs. Got primarily. It. But of course, you know, there are home brewers that I sell to as well.
Okay. And so as a brewer, as a home brewer, and then certainly it sounds like your business is, but as a home brewer, have you always been focused on cask ale, just wanting to get that fresh cask beer out here in the U.S.?
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't home brew any longer. I mean,
it's a good choice.
I think one of the main reasons that I don't is that there's great beer in America now, you know, so my need is kind of being met in a simpler form, although I'd still, you know, do miss it sometimes. There's nothing like brewing your own batch of beer when it turns out really great. But yeah, I really focused on cask ale. But, you know, really, you know, home brewers that are either bottle conditioning or you know, kegging the beer in a Cornelius or whatever. I mean, they're really doing cask ale anyway. They're just not really doing it in a cask, you know, unless they're forced carbonating. But if they're using the continuing fermentation to create the carbonation, I mean, that is cask conditioned, really, you know. The reason that I wanted to get into actually using casks for myself, for my own home brewing, was that I always had a problem in getting the Cornelius to seal. You know, that round, big O-ring.
Yeah.
It was always hard to get it a good seal. So sometimes, you know, the fermentation would continue in the Cornelius, but then it would just be lost through the poor seal. So that's really why I wanted to get into you know, utilizing a cask, and then also just the traditional aspect of it as well.
Okay. So let's do this then, just to get us started, so that we can talk about the different pieces of equipment, and certainly the cask. What is cask beer? What is cask-conditioned ale by definition? Can you give us something there?
Well, first off, I'll tell you what it isn't.
Okay.
And I noticed on your promo to this show, you referred to it as being flat and served at room temperature.
That was more shitty production.
You're right.
That's just to get attention.
Yeah, so he's definitely out, that guy. you know, it's definitely not flat.
Yeah.
I mean, the carbonation level is lower than a kegged beer. And because it's naturally carbonated, the bubbles tend to be smaller, so it's a much smoother carbonation. It's closer, really, to, you know, nitro beer. In fact, nitro was developed to mimic cask ale, you know, that smoothness that you get from, you know, a nitro Guinness or any beer that's served on nitrogen.
Yeah.
So it's a lower carbonation, it's naturally carbonated, and the serving temperature is cellar temperature, which is, you know, usually around 54 degrees. I mean, Caskmark, which is an organization in the UK, and in fact, we just started rolling it out in the US, their guidelines is that the temperature should be between 50 and 57.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thing to think of is this, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, before there was filtration, pasteurization, forced carbonation, all that stuff, you know, temperature control, I mean, it was basically, you know, the beer was carbonated by the continuing fermentation, and it was kept in the cellar, so the temperature of it was cellar temperature. So that's, you know, a misconception that some people have, that it's going to be flat and warm.
Sure.
It shouldn't be. It should not be flat, and it should not be warm. But what cask ale is basically beer where it's still alive. So the yeast is still active, the yeast is still in the beer, and as we know, fermentation creates two things, alcohol, excuse me, and carbonation. So by the fermentation continuing, the carbonation that is created in the serving vessel, the cask, that's what creates the condition of the beer.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you... This is why I wanted to start with the definition, too, because I'm glad you bring up that it actually is carbonated and that it actually is cold. I mean, there's nothing warm about 55 degrees.
Right.
Ask anybody who lives in California. If it gets below 70, we turn on the heat in the house.
Right.
Give me a blanket.
And now, but I will say that I can understand where the misconception comes from, but this is not unique to cask beer. It's unique to all beer. There are establishments that serve beer in a less than ideal way, which is absolutely a nice way of saying in a shitty way, right? And so I've had some, and in fact, I had it in the UK the first time I went. I had some pretty bad cask beer, and it was rather sour, and somewhat warm, and somewhat flat. But the last time I went, and listeners have heard me rave about this, the last time I went, I actually had a local person, yeah, he wasn't from London, but lived in England and took me around London and took me to good beer bars. And it was some of the best beer I ever had. And it was not flat at all. And it was not warm at all. And it was wonderful beer. I loved it. I loved every drop of it.
I hear there's a real big resurgence of real ales and primarily cask.
And people caring about the way that it's served.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Caskmark is an... I'm sure most people have heard of CARA, which is the Campaign for Real Ale, which was formed in, I don't know, 71, I think it was, or something like that. But their objective was, at that time, a lot of the major breweries were really getting into kegged beer. And also, even to the extent that, you know, there was a company in England called Grundy, they made these tanks. In fact, a lot of people have used them nowadays and modified them to make small breweries out of them.
Yeah.
But those Grundy tanks would be in the cellar of the pub, and they would actually deliver the beer in tankers and then just run a hose like you get, you know, oil filled up in your home and they fill the tank.
Right.
So the CARA was formed to fight that, you know, to keep real ale alive. Caskmark was formed, I'm not sure, 10 years, 12 years ago now. And their objective, it was formed by a number of brewers or people involved in the brewing industry, because they felt exactly as you've commented, that there were places, even in England, that were not doing a good job. So Caskmark do an accreditation system where a pub is accredited as serving cask ale in the correct condition. And I think, you know, with Caskmark, coupled with the fact is that, you know, there's a great growth in microbreweries in the UK as there is in the States. And, you know, there's pubs are having a tough time in England right now, and there's a lot of pubs closing. But what tends to be happening, I think, and this isn't always the case, but a lot of the pubs that are closing are the ones that weren't particularly doing a good job anyway. And it seems that success in the pub market in the UK is either beer-driven or food-driven. So, you know, the places that are doing good beer, good cask ale, really looking after it, having an interesting selection and maybe a rotating selection. Cider and Perry right now over there is really seeming to do well as well, you know, from a cask standpoint. So, yeah, it's great. There is definitely a resurgence. I was just got back a couple of weeks ago and had some great beer over there.
That's good to see. I think our own Cicerone program, I think you know Ray, Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our own Cicerone program, I think, is getting there as a certification program. Right now, obviously, it focuses on the servers and being certified. But what you really could do is, like looking at a pub in England that's certified by Camera or another organization, knowing that you can go there and they should know how to serve beer. The same thing here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You should be able to look. I would hope that more breweries and brew pubs and bars will put a Cicerone badge on their website so I can go look and go, okay, at least one person there knows how to clean beer lines, you know, or knows how to serve beer.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah. It's a problem, too.
So, you know.
And also, you know, I'm also a partner in a pub and in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and we have two cask ales on 14 taps, etc., etc. But everybody that works there has to pass the Cicerone.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. I like it. I think it's important, and it's great to see other certification programs just coming out here in the U.S. for the same reason. Because if the craft beer and the pub industry is going to grow here, then I think the standards should grow with it. So I like to see that. Okay, so you mentioned that you were having trouble with the Cornelius kegs, which that's what us homebrewers use, and having it keep the gas if you were cask conditioning, and you say that you moved to a cask. Well, what is a cask? What's the difference?
Cask is really a barrel, you know, not made out. I mean, you can still get them made out of wood, but most of the time they're stainless steel. We are seeing some plastic ones now. Mm-hmm. But it's basically a barrel that, unlike a keg that has like a Sankey fitting, basically this has two holes in it. If the barrel was laying horizontally, which is how they're traditionally dispensed, on the top is a hole about 2 inches in diameter. That's called the shive hole. And on the other... on the end of the cask is the keystone, and that's where you knock the tap in. So it's basically a vessel that has two holes in it that's sealed up with bungs. And they come in a variety of sizes. I mean, the most common one today, and everybody's heard of this, is the Firkin, which is 9 imperial gallons, 10.8 US.
Yep.
But there's one half that size that is a pin, you know, 4.5, 5.4, and double that size is a Kilderkin, then twice that's a barrel, and you get into a hogshead at 54.
Okay.
But most of the time people are using firkins nowadays.
And these vessels, which have, like you mentioned, a bung, you know, to place in the hole, these will hold enough pressure to do cask conditioning?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do have situations where... you know, people are blowing the keystone is the one that usually blows out the smaller one, but not always. But, you know, where that will be the case. And basically, it's through overcarbonation. One of the things that in the UK, brewers in the UK really, I'm going to say never, and I can't really justify that, but they generally do not use any form of priming.
Okay.
The fermentation is stopped, maybe, you know, worked in specific gravity with 1 or 2 points of specific gravity left. And then, you know, it would go into a conditioning tank where it stays for maybe 3 or 4 days to help the yeast drop out, and then it would be put into the firkin. So the carbonation is just by the continuing fermentation of the residual sugars that are already there. What tends to happen, I think, in the States, and this is getting better as time goes on and brewers are becoming more well-versed with handling cask, but I think there's the concern of, you know, we don't want it to be flat. So, therefore, you know, a lot of priming sugar or other, you know, words is added And hence, you know, you get a really lively batch of beer that, you know, if the pressure builds so much, it will blow a bung out. The problem with that, and any bar owner out there that handles cask, is that when you get a really lively batch of beer and you vent it to let off the excess gas, I mean, you know, I did a cask festival once in a room where the ceiling height was about 16 feet. Yeah. And this was on a regular table about 3 foot high. And when it was vented with a soft spile, I was with Alex Hall, actually, vented with a soft spile, the spray hit the ceiling. Well, you know, that's obviously way, way, way too lively. And the difficulty is, it's also, one, it's going to take a long time to vent it. And all that carbonation, it makes it more difficult for the beer to drop bright. It tends to hold the yeast up in suspension. Mm-hmm. Now, I notice a big difference, you know, between if I get a cask that's actually come over from the UK, or there's an American brewer that's been doing it and really knows what they're doing, and you know, they've tested it enough times that they know, okay, I don't need priming, or if I do, I'm only going to put this in, or what have you. It's so much easier to handle from the landlord standpoint. It drops bright quicker, you know, you're not getting a mess all over the place. So, that's one of the issues with the overcarbonation.
Sure. Well, from the home brewing side, and now I have a lot of co-hosts in here, by the way, Paul, so you'll hear different voices. But one of our guys, Tasty, is here with us. And we've been talking about consistency in home brewing for a long time. And it sounds like to do good cask beer at home, Tasty, you know, you're going to have to be able to stop the fermentation a couple points before it's done. Right. And transfer it to a cask. And we'll talk to Paul about how we might be able to get a cask like this. But consistency would be key here for a home brewer, because right. if you think it's only a couple points away, but it's actually going to drop an additional 5 or 6 points, right. you're going to have one of these gushy beers that he's talking about.
Exactly. If you don't know what your finishing grad is going to be, you don't know what 2 points before that is. So
we're going to have to be pretty familiar with the beer that we're brewing, I think, to turn it into a cask ale.
Yeah, to be consistent. If you're not going to finish at 10-12, then you can, you know, stop. You could cap it at 10-15 or whatever.
Sure. Or I guess the alternative then would be to let it finish all the way and then add back priming sugar.
Priming sugar.
However, Paul's just saying that's not really the traditional thing. You'd finish it a couple points above.
I think if I really wanted to make home cask ale, I'd do it the natural way. I think I'd avoid the priming sugar.
You'd try to stop it a couple points too. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, you're most probably going to end up with a very, very similar result, but you know, the way that I used to do it, I used to brew, you know, 12-gallon batches, really, basically enough to fill a firkin. Mm. And then I had an extension on a refrigerator that I could control the fermentation temperature. So then after it would, I mean, typically, I was using open fermentation and top cropping yeast. I mean, at one point, I think I had about a dozen or more different British yeast strains on Petri dishes. And, you know, would try and match them with the beers that I was trying to replicate.
That's great.
But I could control the temperature. So, you know, it'd ferment at, say, around 68. Normally fermentation would take about 2 or 3 days at the most. You know, and I was mainly brewing most of the time ordinary bitters or even milds, where the starting gravity would be, you know, as low as 10.33, 10.34, you know, or an ordinary bitter 10.38, or a best bitter 10.42. So I would normally work it on, okay, it's going to ferment down to about 25% of that. So, you know, 10.40 down to about 10.10. So at about 10.12, you know, 10.11, I'd crank the temperature down just to really slow it up. But I never found a situation where I would have one that it was flat.
Okay.
I really didn't. There always seemed to be enough residual sugars in there just to keep it, you know, chugging away.
Sure. Okay.
One question. Would you ever add additional yeast at that point to help carbonate?
No.
No. So it's just completely natural, nothing extra added. Got it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would strip the yeast, you know, when the fermentation was over, before I dropped the temperature, I'd strip the yeast off the top and then use that for the next batch.
Right. You know, top cropping, like you were saying earlier.
But still, just by top cropping,
right.
But still plenty of yeast left in solution always to give you some carbonation.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that you've explained to me what a cask is, and I've seen one, and we've all, like you said, we've all seen the firkin before, and can I get these as a home brewer, though? I mean,
I
can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what
just
I was
buy,
always...
Just buy them from me.
Right, you got to go to UK Brewing Supplies.
So my motto is, if you have the money, I don't care whether you're a home brewer or a brewer or what, it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, anybody that, you know, wants to purchase something and that's interested in doing it. I mean, a lot of my job, and this maybe has diminished a little bit over the years, but maybe not because it's becoming so much more popular, is actually helping people get rolling. You know, really what we're doing now, you know, I was talking to my wife about doing this show and I said, you know, I have this conversation and answer these questions practically every day of the week.
Right.
So, anybody that wants to get into it. There's also, I also sell a book that's put out by the Campaign for Real Ale.
Yep.
And it, again, is on my website. And it's called The Camera Guide to Cellarmanship. And that's an excellent book. It's not about brewing real ale, because any beer that you brew, you know, you can cask condition it. It doesn't have to be a British bitter.
Okay.
If you think about it, years ago, all beers were cask conditioned. There was no other way to carbonate them.
Sure, true.
So, but this is about how to handle it, you know, the venting of it, the tapping of it, you know, all that stuff. And that's a great, if someone's thinking of getting into it, I always suggest that that's the best first step is to get that book. It's not that lengthy, but it covers the subject very, very well. And it'll give you an idea kind of what you're getting into, you know.
Okay. And by the way, the website is ukbrewing.com. I think I have that right. You can go to ukbrewing.com and check it out right now. And if you've got questions, just hit the chat now button or call 888-401-BEER and we'll do that. Let's do this, Paul. I got to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's go through the equipment needed to serve proper cask beer if we can.
Sure, sounds great.
Okay, let's do that. We're going to take a quick break and take care of some sponsors. We're talking to Paul Pendyke. He's the founder and president of UK Brewing Supplies, and we're talking all about cask beer. Hit the chat button on the homepage to ask questions. Susie's in there, or call 888-401-BEER. We'll be right back with more from Paul.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Have you ever dreamed of taking a beer tour through Belgium or Germany, but weren't sure how to even start? Or were afraid of missing the best places and events? Or maybe you just wish you had a local insider to take you around? Well, there's only one American tour company featured in the Good Beer Guide to Belgium. Belgian Beer Me, your personal beer tour guide of Belgium and Germany, is ready to go at BelgianBeerMe.com and at BambergBeerMe.com. Founder Stu Stewart personally leads 8 tours a year to Belgium and Germany, visiting the finest breweries, beer cafes, abbeys, and festivals, stocking stuffers, birthday presents, and the best honeymoon ever. Couples or individuals love Belgian Beer Me beer tours. Your life is now. Sign up for a beer tour today at Belgian Beer Me or BambergBeerMe.com, because all that beer is not going to drink itself. Like both Belgian Beer Me and Bamberg Beer Me on Facebook to follow current and upcoming tours.
7 short minutes off California State Route 101, there lies a secret oasis for all craft beer lovers.
It's Relax Grillin' and Chillin', bro!
Relax Grillin' and Chillin' in Hollister, California is a craft beer lover's dream come true.
Not like a creepy JP dream, like a normal craft beer lover's dream.
30 taps pouring your favorite craft beer. Visit Relax Grillin' and Chillin' on Facebook to see the most up-to-date beers and what's on the grill.
Let us grill so you can chill.
Angus burgers, filet mignon and ribeye steaks, dogs and sandwiches, and more. Great food, great beer in a place where you can kick back and relax. Tuesdays are brewery nights. Come in to celebrate, and you're not limited to enjoying your favorite brew at the restaurant. Relax Grillin' and Chillin' has beer to go. Relax Grillin' and Chillin'. Let them grill so you can chill.
And now, Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I say!
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can sell you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbach, entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, superior customer service, and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamil Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is brewers will say, yeah, I don't brew to style. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know?
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Into the session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, thanks for sticking with us. It's the Brewing Network. It's the session right now, and we're talking to Paul Pendyke. He's the founder of UK Brewing Supplies, talking to us all about cask ale. And just before the break, we started to get into equipment, and that's what I wanted to do here, is talk about how we can do this at home. So we already kind of said, Paul, that yes, we can buy an actual cask, and you can do that, of course, from UK Brewing Supplies. And how cost prohibitive is it? Is it a very expensive thing?
Well, casks are you know, firkins and pins are actually the same price. They're about 165. They're British made stainless steel. The plastic firkins are $99, no plastic pins. And then I just got some refurbished casks that are actually a little bigger than a firkin. They're actually 12 US gallons, about 10 point, whereas a firkin's 10.8, and they're $99. So anywhere between $100 and $165.
Okay.
I mean, most probably, if you're going to get into getting a beer engine, the cask, your bungs, taps, cask, all that stuff, I mean, you're most probably looking at around $600, $700.
So you got to love cask beer. You really got to love this style of ale. And I mean that. You know, you got to enjoy it. Otherwise, why spend that money?
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, it's an investment, you know.
I look at it more as a challenge. I see two challenges here. It's one, we've already talked about making it.
Yeah.
And what Tasty said, you got to be consistent on what your beer is. You got to know where it's going to finish.
Yeah.
And the second thing is delivering it.
Right.
Which is where he comes in.
Sure.
It's got the equipment to make it come out right. I think it's 3/4 on the delivery.
Yeah.
It's still a living product at that point, too. Yeah. And you're dialing that in that side of it. And it's changing, varying mm-hmm. a little bit, even as you're serving it.
Well, this is an excellent... Now, Paul, that's Doc and Nate. They're here, co-hosts as well. And this is a great point. The home brewers who get into it like you have, Doc, you know, when you brew German beer, you do it, you like the beer, but you really do it because the challenge is to replicate that German beer that you love.
To do it right.
So to do this with the English beer and a cask ale, you're right. The serving part of it kind of rounds out the whole thing. You could brew the perfect beer, but if you're not serving it.
Right, and we've talked tonight about those pubs that just don't do it okay.
Sure. Man. And if you kind of, you know, I've had a really nice English brown from you, Doc. But, you know, if you put that into a corny keg and you force carbonate like we always do, it still tastes like an American version of it by mouthfeel, right? Because of the way the carbonation is, and it's got the carbonic acid in that sense. And
because I'm American, and I do it the way I want to do it.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful beer, but if you wanted to do the traditional, you know, if you could easily turn that English brown of yours that I've had into a wonderful a cask ale. And Paul even talked about, you said about how the bubbles are of a different size. The mouthfeel is different from that, you know.
Well, I think if I can just interject, I'm not sure whether it was you, Doc, but you made a good point, or somebody did, where they said that it's still alive and so it's still changing.
That was neat, to me,
that's the beauty about it, actually.
It's like the job of the brewer doesn't stop when it leaves a brewery. Like, you continue to take care of it as a living product. From that point forward, right?
That's why the landlord is, that's what I say to people frequently, is that it's actually leaving the brewery before it's finished.
Right.
It's getting finished in the cellar of the pub or wherever. And so, you know, it's an important job. Being a cellarman is a very, very important job. But Ray Daniels, years and years ago, wrote a paper on cask ale called The Perfect Pint. And his point was that, you know, throughout your life, and I can remember pints like this as well, you know, sometimes that you would just go into a pub and have a pint of cask ale and just everything will be right. You know, I mean, it would just be at that point that, you know, the day before it could have been excellent,
right.
And the day after it could have been fantastic, but that time it was just right there. And, you know, I can remember now as we're sitting here, pints that I've had that I thought, wow, that is the perfect one.
Right.
And there could be also, you know, factors that have got nothing to do with the beer, actually, but they all add into the mystique. But the important thing, I think, is the fact that it's changing. I mean, that's something that I like, that each time that you drink it, you know, it might just be a little bit different.
Sure.
It sounds like you're talking about some of my old girlfriends.
Some days they were just right.
They're just perfect. This could be the one. And
right.
I thought the same thing, but when he was saying they're still alive,
oh.
I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
All right, what other equipment is needed? Because we've only talked about casks here. So what else to serve
at home? Obviously, you'll need a cask.
I think you need an Englishman.
Bungs, you know, the Shive and the Keystone bungs. You'll need hard and soft spiles. What they are, they're a peg Wooden pegs. The soft spile is they're porous. They're made from bamboo. The hard spile is. I mean, there's still some porosity to it because it is still wood, but they're made from lime wood, and they're basically used in the venting process. So, okay, let's just go through the process quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I said that, you know, I'd drop it, I'd drop the temperature to get the yeast to drop out, then basically what I would do would siphon it over to a cask, a firkin, or a bin, whatever. And then typically I would like to fill it to about a half to three quarters of an inch to the top. That's an important thing, actually, is how much headspace, you know, because obviously if there's more headspace, that CO2 that's generated has got to fill that headspace before it's going to be absorbed into the beer. So, you know, you don't want to leave a big headspace. So then I would bung it up and I'd let it just continue. I'd let it just ideally at cellar temperature, ideally at that, you know, mid-50s, so that it can just keep conditioning and conditioning. It's always questionable how long to keep it in the cask. Generally, you know, the higher alcohol content of the beer, the longer it should be left in there and the better it is, actually. But with an ordinary bitter, you know, like a 1040, 1038 starting gravity, you know, a couple of weeks would be fine. 2 or 3 weeks would be really great. And then what you have to do is vent it. You have to let off the excess gas. So to do that, you utilize the soft spile. And what I like to do is I actually vent it first with a hard spile, just because if it's really lively, the hard spile is going to prevent the shower. And you'll still see some, you know, frothing at the top of the spile. And I tap it at the same time. Now, that way, Paul, I can take a sample of the beer. And I can look at it and I can swirl it around in the glass and see what the carbonation level is like and determine whether it needs more venting. And if it does, I would leave the soft spile in for longer and take another sample maybe 12 hours later. If it doesn't, if I think, hey, the condition of this looks great, but I'm not ready to put it on yet, I still haven't finished my existing one, then I could hard spile it again. Then I could seal it up again and just leave it and let it just continue to do its thing. So that's basically the process, the venting process and the tapping process. To dispense it, I mean, there's actually two ways of dispensing it. You can either dispense it by gravity, where you just open the tap and put a glass underneath, or the other way is with a traditional beer engine, a hand pump. You know, there's advantages to both. I mean, gravity, I find you'll get a different flavor profile. There's no doubt about it. If you have the same beer and have it gravity versus through the hand pump, it will taste different.
Hmm.
The hand pump, because there's more agitation going on, particularly if you have a sparkler on the end, and the sparkler goes on the end of the nozzle, and it's basically a tip that has a lot of small holes in it. So as you pull it, and it pushes the beer through it, it actually forces the CO2 out of suspension. And that's when you get that cascading look, similar to when a pint of Guinness is poured.
Okay.
Now, you'll find that in the UK, and this has changed a little bit, but it still does exist, in the south of England, they tend to not like a head on their beer. Whereas if you go into the north, particularly into Yorkshire, is a good example. They like a real thick, creamy head. But what you tend to find is that the beers that are brewed up north tend to have the flavor profile that they can stand that forcing it through the sparkler without it just wiping out, you know, any... hop flavor is the thing that tends to happen. What happens when it goes through a sparkler, you tend to get less hop flavor and more hop aroma. It tends to get more into the head.
Interesting. Do we know why that is?
Well, just the agitation of it, I think.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's knocking the CO2 out of suspension. It's coming into the head, and I think it's, you know, picking up, you know, some of the hop flavor, and it's sticking it in the head. I mean, that's my speculation.
Sure. Okay.
But an interesting thing is, I was just over in the UK, and I was doing a brewery tour for Black Sheep. Have you ever heard of this brewery?
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Theakston's? Theakston's Old Peculiar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was they wanted to be Scottish and Newcastle wanted to buy Theakston's. It was run by, I think, two or three brothers. It was formed, it was a family brew from the 1850s. One of the brothers didn't want to sell. He got forced into selling, and then he opened his own brewery called Black Sheep, actually in the same town. And I had a tour around there. I know the guys there. And they use, I didn't realize this, but they use a fermentation vessel that's called Yorkshire Squares. The only two breweries that use them in existence now is Sam Smith's and Black Sheep. And that is a real interesting fermentation vessel. It's an open fermentation vessel, but it's actually two levels. And the beer gets pumped up during fermentation. And then the yeast gets separated in the level, and then it drains back down. But this continuing agitation, the yeast, it actually requires that. And it creates a more of an astringent taste to the beer. So it's interesting that, you know, that would be the case. And then at the same time, the Yorkshire beer seem to be better served through a sparkler.
That is interesting.
It's just, so that astringency would take the place of the hops that get kind of blown out during the sparkler operation.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Okay.
Plus, I think you're volatilizing some of the hop oil when you're saying less hop flavor, more hop aroma. I think you're pushing some of that aroma out. Perhaps with the sparkler.
It's pretty volatile.
That might be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's noticeable. I mean, even with a beer engine, if you take the sparkler off and dispense a beer without the sparkler and put the sparkler on, there'll be it'll be different.
So is there also that distinction by region about pouring through a hand pump versus straight from gravity, or is that more of just a personal preference of the pub or something like this?
Yeah, I mean, no. There's nothing to do with region. What you tend to find. The pubs that pour through gravity, I mean, there's a real tiny pub in Oxford that I've been to. They don't have a cellar. They just have a room. And, you know, the objective of the beer pump was obviously to get the beer up from the cellar. Right. But this one doesn't have a cellar, so they just, you know, use some a cooling system, and then they just pour them all by gravity. And, you know, there's still some pubs that there is a cellar, but they just go down there and they fill up a jug and come up and fill it up that way, you know. So I think it's kind of more out of necessity.
It's a good point to note that the beer engine didn't come about because we wanted some fancy handle at the bar. It was really just technology.
That stuff was in a different room, too, and you had to get it over there somehow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it wasn't even designed to improve the beer. It was designed to improve the quick service of beer.
The delivery.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it was designed to improve profits, if you will, because you could serve more beer quicker. So it's really just a technology, not necessarily there to serve the beer. But as a byproduct, I like that you have these different, that they actually will taste different. You have these different flavors that you could experiment with at home.
I like the way he was talking about the cellar master. The brewery's not finished with it. And
right.
It gets to the cellar master, and he's tasting it down there. And whether he said it's ready or not, which one's going to be served tonight.
Right.
And where is he? He's down in the cellar.
Yeah.
Where it's cold, where all the casks are.
And he better know what he's doing.
And he better
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Because he's the one finishing the beer.
Yep.
He's the secondary brewmaster.
And U.S. craft brewers will tell you, wow, the ball's on that brewer to hand over his beer unfinished to somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, because that's a scary thing to do.
Have you seen Michael Jackson's The Beer Hunt? Have you seen the TV series of that?
Yes. I've only seen a few clips of them.
There's a really cool one where the guy's doing the various spiles and whatnot. I remember that one. That one's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's Mark Dorber at the White Horse in Parsons Green.
Okay.
He was regarded as, a well-known cellarman. He was actually a lawyer, and he kind of worked there. I don't know if he worked there part-time initially or what. He has his own pub now. But, that's what I was going to mention. You know, it spoke about cask ale and venting it. With regard to the beer, so the beer engine, I mean, I have a cask setup and I have a beer engine. But another thing that's important, particularly for home brewers, is a cask breather. And, you know, if you're not going to drink the beer within 3 days, maybe 4 days max, you know, and you're just going to allow the oxygen in, obviously it's going to go off.
Yeah.
So there's a piece of equipment that was developed called the cask breather. And whenever I get into this conversation, frequently we get into camera are against them. Mm-hmm. But I think they're wrong, and more people use them, because what's happening in England, more and more pubs have more variety of cask ale on, and you can't go through it all in 3 days, you know, if
right.
you've got 6 or 8 or whatever. So you've really got to use cask breather. But what a cask breather is, it's really an on-demand valve. It's like if you've ever been scuba diving, it's like a scuba valve. That basically it only opens when the pressure on the opposite side is reduced. So in other words, when you suck in, that valve opens and lets the gas in. And when you stop, it stops. And it lets it in at atmospheric pressure. So it's not pushing the gas in. You know, if you're scuba right. diving and you breathe, it's just like you're breathing oxygen, you know, you're breathing the air.
Got it.
It's just like that's what a cask breather does. So you hook it up to a CO2 tank. That's typically set between 5 and 10 PSI works. The cask breather goes onto the top of the cask through the shive bung. Mm-hmm. And then as you pull a pint or dispense a pint by gravity, it will allow like a blanket of CO2 to go on top of the beer and extend the beer.
Yeah, it only lets like 1 PSI in or something. I actually have
it's
one.
Not, it's no PSI. It's atmospheric pressure, just like
okay.
air.
Right.
It's just,
yeah.
just a, it, there's no pressure. Because one of the things that people really have to be aware of is obviously if you put pressure on, you can increase the carbonation of the beer. But also, if you put too much pressure on and you have it hooked up to a beer engine, it will actually push the beer out of the keg and right through the beer engine. You'll just end up with all your beer on the floor.
Right. Well,
there is another piece of equipment that you can put on to stop that called a check valve, but you really don't need it if you use a cask breather.
This is a no-brainer to me, and I've heard this complaint about camera that you know people have respect for camera, but it's not just so that people can find the perfect pint. It's protecting
ultra,
a tradition.
Ultra purists about the tradition,
yeah.
right?
And yeah. so in order to protect the tradition, you might exclude things like this breather, but the breather's a no-brainer to me because you're pulling in oxygen otherwise. And if it's like you're saying, and I've never heard it described to me this way, or at least not sober because I didn't remember, that it's only at atmospheric pressure. So it's not adding anything except that the air that's got to replace the beer you're taking out is CO2 instead of oxygen.
Yeah, it's just protection. Yeah.
It's
in
a no-brainer.
Brew Lab up in Sunderland did like a blind taste test of a beer that was on a cask breather and one that wasn't, and there was no discernible difference.
Of course not.
I think the reason that camera are against it, and I think we may see them change it. I think, you know, years ago, what their fear was that the cellarmanship wouldn't be as attentive to the beer. But you see, what's happening now is that the pubs that are, you know, I think having put more variety of cask ales on, they're really into it. You know, their objective is to have this cask ale, you know, fantastic condition, and they're really concerned about it. But I think they need that tool to be able to do it. I mean, you know, in our pub now, if it was a situation, I think that they knew that they were going to sell, if they had one cask ale on, they knew, we're going to go through this in a couple of days, I wouldn't bother putting a cask breather on. But, you know, if you've got multiple beers on, and sometimes one sells quicker than another, in the pub that I'm a partner in, we often go through a cask in less than 3 days. But at the same time, there might be one next to it, particularly if it's a stronger beer, that, you know, it takes longer to go through.
Right.
So it's just a tool. I have no problem using them at all.
Okay. I think they're great. I use mine as an airlock on my conical.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Hook it up to CO2 and just
great idea.
Don't worry about anything.
That's a great idea. All right. I've got a few questions from our chat room that I want to get to before we move further, Paul, if that's okay. And
sure.
One of them was about Spiles. I did want to just back up for a second and paint a picture and make sure I have Spiles right, because I did get to go see a few cellars while I was out there in the UK. And so you've got the bung on the top of the, well, so to speak, at the top of the cask, and you've got the tap that you hammer into where it would come out. Is the spile the bit that you hammer down into the center of the bung so that it can vent? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's this wooden piece that you hammer down into the center of the bung just to kind of paint a picture at home, and then it breathes. And then if you'll remember back, Paul was saying that there are soft ones that are more porous and hard ones that are porous but that will generally put a seal on there. A question that came through from Slow Brood in our chat room. He wants to know if spiles can be reused. And if so, since it's porous, is it then pretty hard to sanitize?
Yeah, for the price of them, they're inexpensive. I suggest people throw them away just for the fear of cross-contamination. I mean, spiles are, you know, 30 or 40 cents a piece. You know, for 30 or 40 cents versus the chance of spoiling a batch of beer, I just chuck them away. Sometimes also the soft ones can get blocked up. And that's one thing that you need to check, actually, because, you know, if there's a top break, you know, and there's some yeast that, you know, comes to the top, and then as it's getting blown off, you know, it can sometimes block up or sort of hop leaf if you're doing dry hopping. That's another nice thing with cask, is dry hopping. You know, I mean, just, you know, I mean, I used to use leaf hops. I never bothered using a hop bag. I just throw them right in loose.
That's popular among craft brewers who do play around with casks, I found, in on the West Coast, at least. For example, Drake's Brewery will do a cask every Wednesday, so usually featuring a dry hop, extra dry hop version of a beer. So, like you're saying, you can just dry hop right in the cask straight.
Yeah,
whole hops or
whatnot. Exactly. So, to answer the question with spiles, I recommend people just chuck them away. They're not that expensive. You know, and if you contaminated a beer, you know, for the cost of a spile, it's
right.
a lot of effort gone down the drain.
Yeah, good point. And we've talked about that before, too, with, like, even with your corny kegs, right? The parts to replace in a corny keg, yeah. That little rubber fit, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
You've brewed that beer. So if you're going to rebuild, you know, take a good look at it and spend the 35 cents or whatever.
Yeah, I'm checking Paul's website. The spiles that he sells in quantity, like, come out to be 20 cents or something like this each, right? That'd be a blame to ruin a batch for 20 cents, right?
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
What about air filters, Paul? They have little tiny air filters to put in line so the air that you're bringing in is at least, 99% bacteria free. You think that's a good idea?
Is that if you're not using a breather, you mean?
Even if you are using a breather, because on the breather, it's just the air. There's no filtration unit at all.
Okay.
But the breather would be bringing in CO2.
Ah, yeah.
So it won't matter.
CO2 tank.
Yeah. Okay. So, then if you're not using a breather,
Yeah, if you're not using a breather. I don't know anybody that uses a filter, to be honest. You could do. It wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm not sure how you would hook it up. There is another piece of equipment. It's called a barrel venting peg, and I use this when I'm doing festivals. Started using it after that incident where the spray hit the 16-foot ceiling. And basically it's like a spile with a tube attached, so you can knock that in and have the tube go in a bucket, and if it's a crazy beer, it's going to blow off into the bucket instead of all over the place. I suppose you could use that and put an air filter in that line. That would be one way of doing it. But most of the time, in pubs, they don't bother. They just ease out the soft spile, or the hard spile, and just ease it out. And another thing, piece of equipment, now this doesn't have a filter in it, but that I sell, it's called a race cask ventilator. In a pub, if you're not using a cask breather, what you should do at the end of the session, at the end of the night, is actually hard spile it. You should seal it so overnight and until you start dispensing it again, that it's sealed, so it helps maintain the carbonation level. This is a widget that was devised by a landlord in the UK. And it's really, you can't use it for venting because it'll just mess it up. But when it's vented, if you're not going to use a cask breather, you can use this. And it's like an automatic hard and soft spile. It's got some ball bearings in there. And it will only open when you're dispensing. When it isn't dispensing, it's closed. If for some reason the CO2 level got too high, it will open to vent. And that way it just saves, particularly in a pub, you know, at the end of the night, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, to try and get people to go and hard spile the firkins. I mean, someone's going to forget. You know, this is a nice way to do it. They're quite popular in the UK in pubs. There might be a way of attaching a filter to that, but I've never really worried about it that much, to be honest.
It seems to me that if you're not doing the the breather, mm-hmm. You're going to get the oxygen that gets in is going to take hold of that beer, sure, just as quick as whatever bacteria is coming in through the air. So, in other words, you're effed either way if you're letting the oxygen in. So, right. No need to filter the oxygen. Yeah. You're going to get oxygen flavor or you're going to get bacteria flavor, right? So, one or the other, you're still... If you're not finishing that beer in 2 to 3 days, like Paul said, I wouldn't bother with it either.
Just quit your job and start drinking full time.
Right. I can do that.
All right.
Wait, I think I already did do that. Shit. About 7 years ago. Okay. Here's a question from Reaver in the chat room that came through, and I think this is a good question, even if it kind of varies. He says, how does the cellaring work? In other words, he says, what kind of settling time is there for a cask? If we move, a cask from the house to the car, then to move into a party so I can serve cask ale, how long does that beer need to settle before I put it on tap?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that some of the bars in the UK that are just getting into it and don't want to make, you know, the investment for a beer engine, the most difficult part actually for bars in the UK is getting the temperature correct. You know, because most walk-ins are 40 degrees or less. So, you know, it's no good having it in the walk-in. What I suggest, if bars have the space, is actually to use a kegerator behind the bar, have it recalibrated, you know, to 52 degrees or what have you, and do it that way. But moving, yeah, that's an issue. So, you know, sometimes I'll have a customer that they say, okay, we're doing a cask on Friday night at 5 o'clock. You know, we're going to take it out the cooler at 4:30, vent it. I said, look, that's wrong. You know, I'm very emphatic about making sure that people understand how to do it correctly.
Right.
It needs to be in place at least 24 hours.
Okay.
You know, so I say to them, what I suggest is that they get it in place, you know, Thursday morning, Thursday lunchtime, vent it, tap it, and then I also sell insulating jackets and ice blankets, which will enable you to keep it at the correct temperature. And, you know, they put it on the bar and they do that. You got to change them about every 12 hours. But that's the key.
Right.
The thing is we were talking about earlier that it isn't flat and it's not served at room temperature. Well, another misconception is that it isn't cloudy.
Okay.
It should be bright. You know, I mean, on the cask mark, you know, the four things that are tested is temperature, taste, aroma, and appearance. You know, it should be totally bright. It should be brilliant.
Right.
Pin bright is another expression that's used, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's important. That's really important that it has the time to drop bright. You know, I think what would be if you want to take it to a party and you can't get it there, 24 hours ahead of time,
keep
it cool and all that business. I mean, you know, I think it would be better to you know, pour it off into growlers or something.
Mm. Okay.
And then, you know, the yeast is left behind, and then, you know, you haven't got that issue.
We see that in
moving it is a no-no.
We see that in the U.S. more common than you would want to see, I think, as far as serving traditional real ale. They'll have a cask on the bar for aesthetic reasons or just for fun.
Yeah.
It's only been there for a couple hours.
It's cloudy.
It's cloudy, and it's not necessarily what it should be. It's good to hear the proper method being that it really you want a clear beer and it should be there way ahead of time to let settle out.
Right? I want to bring Paul with me to parties just so I can hear him tell everybody they're wrong. You're wrong.
But, you know, the thing is that, you know, when I first got involved in this, I mean, the reason that I got involved in Cask Ale was because I was passionate about it. I mean, you could imagine what the market was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You just think what the craft beer market was like 15 years ago, and then think of cask within that. I mean, it definitely wasn't for the money.
Right.
There's no doubt about that, you know, but it was passionate, and I still have that passion for it. And I think it's great that it's becoming more popular, but it's not great if it becomes more popular and that people are just serving rubbish. I'd rather, and that's why, you know, with Cask Mark, you know, we just started rolling that out in Philadelphia, actually. You know, I think it's important that people that are doing it right get recognized for that.
Sure.
You know, it's important. So, you know, when I talk to people, I have a new customer, I'm very emphatic about the way that they should do it. And I basically say, look, you know, if you can't do it this way, if you can't get it on the bar 24 hours ahead of time, if you can't get the temperature correct, just don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Stop.
Because you're also perpetuating the myth that
all the negative stuff
stupid Americans have about this style of beer.
See, I say the same thing about homebrewing.
We're just perpetuating the myth.
No, if you can't do it well, don't do it.
Well,
but nobody listens to
there's
that.
There's a learning curve.
Well, whatever.
Right.
I have a question for Paul. Speaking of serving etiquette on this style of beer, so when you have a beer engine and you're in between pints, and let's say the beer engine is going to sit there maybe for half hour, an hour in between pints, should the handle be completely upright, or should the handle be tilted slightly towards you?
It really doesn't make any difference.
No, I heard two guys arguing about that once. And
tell people to put it upright. It just, you know, I think it looks a bit better from a presentation standpoint.
Yeah. Got it.
But that doesn't make any difference.
Got it. So it's completely sealed either way.
That leads to another point. You know, in the UK, where cask ale is more popular and they tend to move through it quicker, you haven't got the issue of the beer. I mean, a beer engine is basically like a bilge pump. You know, it's a simple pump. So there's a cylinder and a piston. So the beer engine will have beer sitting in the cylinder. And the cylinder basically comes in two sizes, a quarter pint and a half pint. And, you know, when people say, what should I get? I direct them often towards a quarter pint because there's less beer sitting in the cylinder. So that's another thing, you know, it's not only the cellarman, but it's also the bartenders. I mean, they should realize, and I tell all my staff at the pub this, is that first beer should be basically disposed of. You know, they should pull that cylinder through and get rid of it. Now, the beer engines that we have, you can get beer engines that the cylinder is actually water jacketed. So you can run a coolant around the outside of the cylinder, which helps keep the beer in the cylinder cool. And, you know, I was talking earlier about having a keg cooler. What we do is within that keg cooler, we just have a simple water reservoir. Like, you know, you can use whatever you want, a bucket, a jug, it doesn't matter. And then a pump, and we pump that water that is obviously at 52 degrees up along the beer line, insulate the beer line like you would, a keg line. And then we pump it around the cylinder and then back down into the water reservoir. And so the beer line and the beer in the cylinder, it helps keep that temperature all the same. Something if people, you know, which is quite good in a homebrew environment, that would help as well. But one of the things that people need to realize is it's no good using a submersible pump in the reservoir, although they're the easiest to get and the cheapest to get, because the heat of the pump running will heat that reservoir up. So you really need a self-priming kind of external pump. But that's a system that works very, very well. because that's something else that the bartenders have got to be aware of. Hey, if I haven't served the cask ale for three hours, you know, that beer in that cylinder's, you know, going to be warm.
Right. Good point. That's some technology right there. Running a radiator along the side of it.
Man, really? Yeah.
I like it.
It's like jacketed.
Jacketed, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Here's another pouring question while we're on it that came through from one of our people in the chat room wanting to know what the correct way to pour a pint from a hand pump. He says, I've seen some bars pour them and leave the head of the faucet submerged in the beer as it's drawn. And he says,
if you're using a sparkler, mm-hmm. that's what you should do.
In fact,
the sparkler has a tip on the end that's most probably about a quarter of an inch, and then you should actually put the glass, so the tip is on the bottom of the glass.
Oh yeah.
And then pull the handle and then follow it down, keeping that submerged. So yes, that's, if you're using a sparkler, that's the way to do it. If you're not using a sparkler, see, if this is another thing that where the bartender has to get involved. You know, you'll get some beers, even if you vent them, there's going to be, you know, similarly, there's going to be some beers that are going to be a bit livelier and some that aren't. And then during the course of its dispense, it can change. The carbonation level can change. So, you know, sometimes you'll start off dispensing it and we'll, if you put a sparkler on it, it'll just be too much head. You know, in that case, I would just pour it on the side of the glass like you do if you're dispensing out of a keg faucet.
Okay. All right. Okay, another thing I wanted to touch on while we're doing this, and we just mentioned it briefly, and that's dry hopping in the cask. And, you know, I'll tell you that the best beers I had in England were dry hopped in the cask, and they were so wonderful because, you know, we think of with our big egos here on the West Coast of our hoppy beers and the wonderful character, but some of the best hop aroma that I've had and flavor were these cask ales that I drank. I really loved it. It was a nice character to it. So to do that at home, obviously it affects moving the cask, the whole 24-hour thing. You mentioned whole flowers. What about pellets? Can we not throw pellets into the cask? You know, most homebrewers are using those anyway.
You could do, but I don't think you're going to get as much aroma out of pellets, are you?
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. At least a very different character, for sure.
Yeah, I think you get more aroma out of leaf. And another concern that I'd have, but as long as they dropped well, you'd be okay, but if they didn't, they may block the tap.
Yeah, that's my other question. Yeah. If we have to put them in a hop bag or
especially
something, how
pellets.
Do you deal with that?
Yeah, with pellets, I definitely would put in a hop bag.
But flowers, so you don't have to.
I'm sorry?
But flowers, you don't have to put in a bag.
I've never done them, no.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the seeds usually drop, and then, you know, the leaf is, you know, most of it floats, you know.
Yeah.
Used to sell these plugs in the American market. They probably still do in the UK. They fit right in the top of that bun.
Yeah, can't you get those in the US any longer?
I never see them anymore. They probably are still sold in some markets, but just great half-ounce plugs. They would fit right in the top for that purpose.
Seen
right?
them in forever.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they use in the breweries in the UK for dry hopping because they're so easy. You just throw them right in the shive.
You can make them yourself.
They used to put it. They brought them back for a little bit, but they didn't take off.
Okay.
I mean, even I think after Papazian's book came out, they were still waning.
Not.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's just
seen
an easy
them.
Way to get them in there. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this, and I am no expert by any means. But if you're going to go through this trouble and you're going to spend the money on the cask system, you got to dry hop that beer.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to
put the flowers in that beer.
If it goes with the beer.
Well, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
But then make a beer that goes with it. Because
right,
I'm
right,
telling you,
right.
It is part of the experience, and you'll change your own mind. You'll go, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful. You'll taste this hop character.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
The British Ale, the original first dry hopped beer. I mean, the beer that gained that reputation.
But
right?
think of it this way too. Even with the techniques that we talk about here on this show, with our IPAs and our double IPAs and things like that, here's what we say. We go fermentation, and then we don't bother too much with secondary most of the time. We say go ahead and go to a keg. And then you can dry hop in that. Or those of us with conicals, right, we dry hop in the conical. Mm. And then we go to the keg. And then maybe we'll go to a bright tank and we'll serve from that. But no matter what, we're not serving off of the hops.
Right.
Okay? This is what I'm getting at. So we're talking a less, a lower amount of hops in most of these styles. And so we're not going to worry about bitterness. You're actually serving off of the hops. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. And so I'm just saying I highly recommend
it. It's wonderful.
That's awesome.
It is. It's so great.
Let's do it right now.
That's what I mean. The hop heads, you think you got to dry hop a shitload and then take it off the hops and then drink it. Well, you don't have to do it that way and still get great hop character. And that's all I'm saying.
This is more delicate, and it's not sitting on that dry hop as long. It may only be there a few days or a week or something.
You're going to have to blow through that keg pretty fast.
Yeah? Why is that?
That's why we take them off the dry hops, so that it doesn't get overhopped.
Okay, I see.
And he's talking about the whole time. You've got to go through this thing to make it fresh.
So it's not just the oxygen, but I see what you're saying. If the hop stays in there too long, it will also that changes as well.
Some grassy vegetative character, maybe if it's on it too long or something. But,
sure.
Right. I mean, the ones that you were tasting in the UK, they were from cellar masters who knew what they were doing, obviously, and knew when the beer is going to be served.
Also busy places, so they were going through this beer, I'm sure of it.
1-2 days versus on the seventh day.
Yeah. Okay, you make good points.
Do the lemon?
Go ahead.
I think most of the hops that they would use for dry hopping over there would be something like Goldings or Fuggles. Mm,
right, yeah.
Pretty low alpha acid.
Delicate.
More subtle hop
flavor,
But great aroma. Like Goldings? I love those hops.
EKG rules,
Yeah. Go ahead, taste it.
In England, do the breweries dry hop the beer, or does the landlord often do that?
Usually the breweries.
The breweries, okay.
Yeah.
And what would be a typical time between leaves the brewery and served at the pub? For just like a English mild, not a strong beer.
It's a good question that... I mean, the breweries, the network now has become... obviously further afield, years ago. I mean, I remember when Young's was still in Wandsworth in London, it was interesting. They used to have, a team of Shire horses to do deliveries. And they reckoned that around London, if it was within, I think, 4 or 5 miles of the brewery, it was just as quick to use the horses as it was to have them delivered on a truck. Mm-hmm. But those breweries are further afield. But I think there still is a regionalization to a certain extent. I mean, say Fuller's, which is in Chiswick, London. You don't see too much Fuller's up north. So I'm not sure the answer to that, but I would think, realistically, it's most probably when it leaves the brewery, goes to the distributor, out to the pub. It's got to be within a week.
Okay.
All right. I got you. So that's...
But, we are seeing British cask ale over here. We've had, in the pub that I'm involved in, we've had, Fuller's, all the Green Kings, Green King IPA, Ruddles County, Moreland's Old Speckled Hail, and... Witchwood, we've had some of the smaller breweries. Have you ever had any of the Thornbridge Brew? Thornbridge in England?
Yeah, we did a show with them, too, talking about... we did a Can You Brew It, where we got some of their recipes. Great beer.
Yeah. I mean, they're very kind of a progressive new brewery over there. We're seeing some of those. Harvest Dune, Old Engine Oil had in cask, and Old Engine Oil Reserve in cask. So we're seeing more and more British cask ales coming over, which is interesting. And, they've been fine. There's been this concern, obviously, that they're traveling quite a distance. We tend not to see too many in the summer, see more in the winter months. But, they've been fine.
Okay.
Good stuff.
All right. Now, here's a question, and I'm asking using Tasty as an example, but by no means would this be Tasty's question, I'm sure of it. Tasty, Tasty will filter beer, his homebrew. And you say that a good cask ale should be bright, and we're talking about transporting this cask. If we filter a beer before we put it in the cask, are we stripping out too much yeast for it to then condition? No.
Well... it depends how you filter it, I suppose, but it shouldn't need to be filtered. If you follow the, dropping the temperature so that the yeast will drop out, or most of the yeast will drop out of the beer.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual parts per million that it's supposed to be. I think it's less than 1.5, I think. But you know, I never use, what's that thing that they use with a microscope? Spectrometer, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
To measure the yeast count. You know, I mean, I never got into that. But generally, you know, just following that process. And obviously, it depends on the yeast. You know, I was using British yeast, open fermenters. You know, they were, you know, yeast that were brewed. I mean, I brought Young's yeast over here 20 years ago. It was, I contacted the brewery. I mean, when I was doing this, I mean, there was no Y yeast or White Labs or any of those guys. It was all dried yeast. Mm-hmm. So it was practically impossible to get a decent, you know, British top cropping, top fermenting yeast. And I contacted the brewer at Young's when I was over there on holiday. And I told him, I said, you know, I live in America, brew my own beer, can't get a good British yeast. You know, any chance of giving us a sample? And he said, well, if you meet me at the gates at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he mostly thought I would turn up, but I did.
Right.
And he was very gracious, took me all around the brewery, and then gave me a little starter in a small little jar, you know, that they would keep. And, you know, this was, you know, before the days that you couldn't bring liquids on a plane and all that. And, you know,
right,
kept it in the fridge, put some ice, and just brought it back to the States, you know, and streaked it out. So, you know, the yeast is obviously important. You know, you want a yeast that will flocculate well and drop pretty quick. You know, and some of these, when we were talking about 24 hours, I mean, there's some yeasts that really compact very, very well. Now, you're not going to be able to take it and put it in a car and drive it. You know, I mean, it's not going to stand up to that. You know, but there's some yeast that really compact well that you can, you know, gingerly move them from one spot to another without rousing them too much.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they'll form a solid chunk in the bottom of the vessel.
Yeah, like I'm speculating something like 02 or that strain would probably tend to that pretty well.
Right. No, I can't get past the 24-hour thing because I 99% of the beer I make is served outside my home. You know, so it's outside the brewery. So I got to have beer to go.
It's which part of why you'll filter.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Well, not so much filter. We didn't talk about this, but I assume that findings go into the cask as well, right?
Right.
Okay. So... So, you know, there's ways to get clear beer. Now, what if I did all my aging and maturation of my beer in corny kegs with findings on yeast, natural carbonation? I would cap it off, you know, a few points before terminal, carbonate the beer. And then on go-to-party day, I just take a firkin, transfer it gently into the firkin, maybe add some dry hop, maybe not, and just go away and serve the clear beer. That would I still be doing a cask serving, or would it really just be taking homebrew that I just moved in a different vessel?
It depends if you're going to a camera function, I guess.
Camera would throw me out.
Yeah. Right.
How long has that been in there?
How well can you lie?
Yeah. What do you think of that, Paul?
What do you think about that, Paul? Would that be a cask?
What do you think about that, Paul?
I mean, that would be one way to do it, obviously. You know, it is really cask conditioned ale. It's just that, you know, you just... you know, taking off the yeast bed so you can dispense it. So, you know, if it was for a party, I suppose that would be acceptable. But I think if it's for an extended period of time, I think it's important for it to remain on the yeast. And, you know, part of the reason being is the point that was made earlier, the fact that it's still working, it's still changing.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
You know, that's really part of it. Yeah. And also the fact that, you know, there's people involved, the cellarman and the bar staff, and it, you know, it's not just kind of sticking a glass under a faucet and opening it. You know, it's, you've really got to care about it, actually.
Yeah, and I think so. This is an excellent point because, of course, we're looking for we're always looking for shortcuts, aren't we? But we're looking for ways to serve the beer so that it tastes like it's supposed to. But that's not the whole thing. Was it done like it's supposed to be? So I think, and if I could just paraphrase, Paul's saying, yeah, you're going to serve beer that tastes probably like it's going to taste if you did it that way, tasty. But I like this whole idea of you're going through the motions. It's the traditions of it. It's the way it's supposed to be treated. It's almost like a plant that you're supposed to sing to in order for it to flower properly. Really? If you don't do all this to the beer, it's not going to treat you as well as you, you know, you got to treat it right.
Respect for what happens in the cellar, too. I mean, that guy goes through a lot of work to make it good, right? And that's a whole profession.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, over there.
Right.
Over here, over here, the word cellarman just thrown around as some guy who spends his time in a walk-in.
Right. Yeah, it's the equivalent of busboy.
Right.
It's the busboy is also the cellarman in the U.S.
In many cases, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, the gopher.
It's a dishwasher.
Way, when you're done moving that, wash this dish.
Go change a keg when you're done with that dish, right? Yeah.
It's the guy with the hand truck.
Basically.
So I like the way that Paul talks about it as a, you know, when he got into it, you know, back then, there in the U.S. even, there was cask beer, but it certainly wasn't for the profit. It was for doing it right.
Right.
You know, I like that.
There's something we said for tradition. I want Ken Burns to do a documentary on cask ale.
Yeah.
And then narrated by David Attenborough, just to give it that British feel.
Paul, I don't think Paul approves of that. That's wrong.
That sounds good.
Everyone likes David Attenborough. Come on.
Right. You can't go wrong.
No.
All right. More importantly, Paul, who are you rooting for while you're watching the Olympics? The United States or the UK?
Both, really.
Both.
I'm glad that England are doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how many medals they're up to now, but they're in third place. I think that's great.
Yep.
But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched a lot of the Olympics. You know, I mean, I haven't really been following it that much. I just kind of turned it on. I mean, I turned it on before. I can't remember what was on.
Okay.
It's a difficult question to ask.
you did watch the Royal Wedding, I assume. I mean,
come on. Yes, not in its entirety.
Right. I gotta hope not.
I think you stumped the brewer here, Dustin.
I did watch it, and I actually it had more of an effect on me than I thought it would. And a friend of mine who's a brewer down in Baltimore, Steve Jones, he's a British guy from Coventry, brews great beers. He watched it, and he said the same thing. The funny thing was, that day is my birthday.
Ah.
And at the pub, you know, we had all the bunting, the flags up and all this, and I've got a waistcoat, you know, a vest that's a Union Jack.
Nice.
So, and we had a champagne toast, and when I stood up to make the toast, you know, everybody expected, and I said, you know, today is a memorable day in British history. It's my birthday.
Beautiful. Right.
But no, it was good. It was good. It was great.
All right.
Well, if you can, watch that football match between the U.S. and Canada, man. That was a good one.
See, I would think you would be rooting for Europe, right? Because don't they have the European Union? So to be rooting for Europe.
Don't in they? The Olympics?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
No, what are you talking about?
Europe is unionized. Isn't it? I don't understand.
All right.
Yeah, Frenchman.
The Great Britain got knocked out by
Use your mic.
In the football.
By Korea. Oh.
Yeah. Right. No, that was a good one.
Yeah. I liked watching the ginger Brits.
The ginger running?
The ginger
running
Brits
event?
Running and the gymnastics. I like the gingers. The day walkers.
They were crazy. What I watched was the women's discus.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen houses throw things before? It's the women's discus.
That's what it is.
They're
right.
Huge, except the German lady was like 6 foot, you know, one or two.
Yeah.
Very slender, but like the Bulgarian was just
right.
Crazy, man.
It's like watching grizzlies like throw a frisbee.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And a lot of questions from the chat room, although we ended up covering most of them. So I just gave you the ones that we didn't cover.
That's great.
But
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is a topic that we've tried to cover before, and we just weren't so thorough. So I'm really glad you came on to do it. You can go to ukbrewing.com to see Paul's website. Oh, here is another question, Paul, and you know, having to do with your website is, do you have a physical shop that people can go to, or can we order on the website? What's the deal?
Yeah, no, I don't have a physical shop. So it's just order on the website or give me a call. If you have any questions, I can help you.
Okay, perfect. And it sounds like you're just as much about the education as you are about the equipment. So if people just have questions about how to get it done, you'll answer those too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most important part.
Perfect. So go to ukbrewing.com. And Paul, is this all you do now, is help people with cask beer?
Yeah, pretty well. You know, I'm involved in that pub, but it's also a hotel. I'm a partner in that and a couple of other things. But yeah, the pub is in Lititz, Pennsylvania. So if anybody's ever in Lititz, it's called the Bull's Head Public House. And we always have cask ale on there, so it's worth a stop.
And we can stay there as well. It's a hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. You can drink enough cask beer to walk up to your, to stumble to your hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I have a feeling that the rooms are just the booth that you sit in. So when you're done, you just pull a shade and that's it.
That's fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, what a great idea. Yeah.
How about a hand pump in every room?
Well, that's
a brothel down the road.
Right. All right, Paul, thanks so much for being on the program. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, there you go. It's Paul Pendyke, and you can find him at ukbrewing.com. And good guy.
Yeah.
Man knows what he's talking about.
I'd like to see more cask ale around. Or a lot of beer engines in the Bay Area sit dry in pretty busy beer bars. It's kind of amazing. It'd be kind of cool to see a little bit more.
I wonder if people just don't know what it is.
I mean, I think maybe there was a time for a while where they didn't sell very well.
Yeah.
So the bars stopped carrying them. They didn't want the beer to spoil.
Because what it is in general is that pump that someone has to, you know, pull to pour a pint of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops right there for most consumers.
Right.
Although then the product that they get, which is the cliche, is warm and flat. And that's why it didn't take off. Because it wasn't what it's supposed to be.
Or it's in a pin on the counter.
Right.
And so, I'll try that. And then the bartender walks over to this thing. Go, wait, what is that? That's not refrigerated. I don't want that.
Right.
I think it very much is a cultural thing. But hopefully we can get beyond that as a movement.
Sure.
As a craft beer movement.
Well, movement.
It'd be cool to see it done and done well, at least.
Yep.
I mean, Magnolia and some place like that kind of specialize it in the Bay Area. Sure, are very different than that. But
Well, what I noticed about his website is it's very informative, and it tells you how to set it up. It's a lot of diagrams, you need this to do this.
Oh, I'm out.
And how to set it all up.
Yeah, and this is the point, and it should be done that way. And I think like I was saying, too, this is no longer a problem unique to cask ale.
Right.
It's a problem everywhere. Now that, in fact, I think with the increased popularity of craft beer, we're getting the increased popularity of serving it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone wants to put it on tap.
More,
you know?
More people, more problems.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, you look, you know, just the amount of crazy people in the world has, it seems like every week there's some insane person doing some crazy shit. Because there's 7 billion of us idiots on the planet.
Right.
Where, you know, 25 years ago, there wasn't that many idiots, so there wasn't that many problems.
Well, Justin, I've seen you when you get that beer out of a bad beer line.
Oh, you know.
Ooh, it's undrinkable. Once you get a certain level of education, you realize how bad it really is.
They just changed the keg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, I might not be able to brew it well, but I'm tasting enough of it to know what it's supposed to taste like. And I hesitate to use the term beer snob. I'll call myself that in passing as a joke.
A craft beer fan and aficionado.
Well, in some ways, I just want a good beer.
Yeah.
Can't it just be that I want a good beer?
No.
Exactly.
You have to have a special designation.
Right.
So that way everybody on the other side of that can make fun of you for being that thing.
Right. I have to send the beer back because it's been, you know, he talked about how that first beer should be poured out of the engine.
Yeah.
That first beer should be poured out of every tap.
Yep. Yeah.
If it is cold, it's sitting in that plastic line all night.
Well, especially, you're going there for lunch. You're probably the first guy to order a beer that day. You know most of what ends up in that glass has been in that line for 12 hours.
Oh, and I see the fruit flies fly out of the bottom of that tap handle.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like when you send your food back, like if you want a steak and it's too rare or not rare enough or whatever. Well, are you a steak snob?
No. You're a consumer who wants a good steak.
If you want eggs sunny side up and the white is still running in the top, are you an egg snob?
Or whatever, JP. It's just beer. Just drink it.
Well, it
beer.
Is just,
I'm pouring out of my own kegerator, and I know what's in the line. I know how long the lines are. Some are longer than others.
You're dumping that.
I pull it, and I watch what comes out, and then I dump it.
Before
I even serve it to anybody.
Well, because you don't even serve it to me.
No. Feed it to the goats.
Hell no.
Hell no. Not even you.
Hell not.
I don't even taste it because I know it's bad.
Well,
I just I can see there's a difference when you're pouring it. You can see it's coming out flat.
Yeah.
And then, then you see it starting to sparkle, and you know that's when you stop.
Right.
Dump it out, and then you serve your friends.
Yeah.
That's real talk.
That is real talk.
Yeah, that's real doc talk.
That's... All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got some beer news. Plus, we'll find out what's going on in Doc's life and lots more going on. We still have to do feedback, Doc. We saved it for you.
That's true.
How you like me now?
Oh, yeah, I love you, baby.
It's the session. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters, on the Brewing Network. A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial. By popular vote from the Northwest Brewing News, HopTech has been voted the best homebrew shop in Northern California. Serving homebrewers for nearly 30 years in Dublin, California, HopTech carries more than 40 different kinds of hops and more than 60 different grains. Malt extract, spices and sugars, hop oils and extracts. Open every day except Wednesday or shop online anytime at hoptech.com or call 1-800-DRY-HOPS, 1-800-379-4677. With in-store classes almost every Saturday, huge selection, and a dedicated commitment to their customers, HopTech is one of the longest-running and passionate homebrew stores, period. And now, by popular vote, the best homebrew shop in Northern California. And don't forget their 15% military discount. HopTech. Visit today at HopTech.com. When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Oh, I was drunk last night and the night before, and I'm gonna get drunk just once more. Do the drunk man's wiggle.
lot of wine, then my booty really shine. And do the drunk man's wiggle.
And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
It's 888-401-BEER.
Back to the program, and thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks to Paul Pendyke from UK Brewing Supplies. A dude knows what he's talking about. Like having him on the show. Good job, Moscow.
Yeah, thanks. I screwed it up, but it was a choice between Dyke or Dick.
He got
it was a lose-lose.
Yeah, you couldn't win there. But you gotta ask.
I was referred to him, and the guy who referred me to him knew him, and that's how he pronounced his name.
Right.
And so I made the mistake of assuming he was correct and not asking Paul himself.
Right.
Still my mistake, but I was misled.
Pendyke. Paul Pendyke.
I like how you go, that's why you have to ask. No, I was misled.
But then I admitted at the end that it was in fact
sure.
at least around, partially my fault. Yeah,
I know, I think it's funny.
We're all that way here. All right.
I'm not. I'm perfect.
But I did want to thank Paul for being on the program. Go to ukbrewing.com right now. You can get more information. And, of course, you can order supplies. And I want to be invited to a home brewer's house who has real cask ale. Just putting it out there, you know. So I want one of you to follow his advice. And
give you free beer.
I want to be invited to a home brewer's house that has real cask ale on tap from a brewery.
Yeah. I see. That's true. I spent $600 on all this. Well, sorry about that. Sorry to hear that.
It's a good first effort.
Now, Doc's back in the studio with us this week. And, Doc, what I want to know is how is Operation Docky Freedom going this week right now?
It's Doc stock at my house.
Doc, the family's on a family vacation this week, and Doc had work and different things to do. So,
like living.
It's Operation Docky Freedom going on down there at the Lothamer residence.
Oh, it's awesome. They left on Friday.
It's awesome.
I have no rules. I have no scruples.
Are you working this week?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I took it off.
So you don't have anything keeping you in check.
Oh, no. I have people coming at all times of the night and day. And they're all welcome.
I'm going to move in I'll move in from tomorrow until Thursday.
Good.
Doc sounds amazingly sober for this being the state of his life right now.
Well, I knew I had to get here and get home.
Wow, great.
All right. I like it. Well, Nate asked me, is Doc coming? And I said, well, in theory, yes. He said he's going to be here. However, I know that he's on hiatus this week, so maybe he'll show up. Maybe he won't.
Anything could happen.
Oh, no, I'm going to show up. I just got many more things to do when I get home.
You know, Doc, this could have been your life. everything that is preventing it from being your life was your choice.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I'm looking to the future.
That's right.
It's like summer camp at my house.
Right, well, just remember this little taste of life, Doc. You keep it on. You keep it on the tip of your tongue. Savor it. Swirl it around.
My therapist smiled at me today.
Oh, yeah? Because you came in a normal human being?
Yeah. I kept telling him how happy I was, how good this is, and he goes, step in the right direction.
He's like, Doc, so wait a second. So you're actually happy, Doc.
His therapist moonlights as a divorce attorney.
I was surprised the therapist didn't give him his money back this week. He's like, see, this is what it would be like all the time. Here's your money back.
Well, he's usually like trying to get me just through the next week.
Right.
And he just smiles and goes, you'll be okay.
Yeah. I love it. All right. It's good to see you, Doc.
I almost invited him over.
You should. Right. It's weird. I like my therapist that much, too, but I don't invite him to things because I know he doesn't want to hang out with me. He's like, no, listen, you're fucking crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not going to go do what you do.
Yeah, he might get into sucked into all what is Doc.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, listen, I've heard all the things you do. I don't need any of that. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to stretch all the sessions out as long as possible. He doesn't need a whole dose to find out exactly what you is in
what
one
you
night.
Is. Yeah.
Well, he wants to find out over the course of 10 years.
Right.
I figure I can do anything I want. I'm going to brew. And I go, okay, I'm going to brew on Sunday. Shit didn't happen. I go, okay, I'll brew on Tuesday. I'm going to brew on Tuesday. Yeah. I'm brewing on Tuesday.
Yeah, I can just do that.
And if people ask me, well, what time are you going to brew? I'll come over and help you. I go, I don't know. I can brew any time I want.
Whenever I get out of the jacuzzi, that's when I'm going to be brewing.
Motherfucker.
Whenever I'm done shooting shit, that's when I'm going to start brewing.
I offer people to shoot stuff.
Are you shooting
at my house? Oh.
Let's shoot stuff.
Of course
my neighbors were over watching me shoot fire out of the dragon's snout, and they said,
I'll bring my gun. We'll shoot.
And it was mentioned there's way too many deer around here.
And you're like, well, I got guns for that.
Hypothetically, because I'm sure it's not the season for that.
No.
Hey, we're not in the county thing, so.
They're not even in the country.
They're in international waters.
There's no rules there at all.
Susie wants to come shoot guns.
I'm just not cleaning it.
Right.
I don't care the bloody stuff. I'm just lazy.
Nicole and Nate will clean it.
I know what week to take off next year and be like, Doc, when are you going to do this again?
Right.
And be like, Nicole, I'm going to disappear for a while. You can come over too if you want, but it's going to get
it's
nuts.
It's usually the first, second week in August.
Hey, Justin, good where deal. Are you going on vacation?
Moraga. I'm going to go do some camping.
Camp Doc.
Yeah. I'm actually going to a hunting lodge. It's a whole resort.
Pretty
it's
much
up in Moraga.
We have 12 acres to do whatever we want. I'll see if I can post the full flame test that we did last night.
Can you purchase some ATVs in between now and the next stop?
I can borrow my neighbors have them. I can,
oh, perfect.
I can get them.
So what time tomorrow?
Whatever time you want to show up.
I'll bring 7 my gun. So if I just showed up at like 4 in the morning just shooting off rounds into the sky, it'd be fine, right?
There's knock first. Oh, wait, I guess that is knocking.
Yeah.
Oh, JP's here.
Lock the door.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
I love
all
it.
All right.
Good time at Doc's. All right.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass. Feedback's brought to you today by Relax Grillin' and Chillin' out there in Hollister. And I've been talking to those guys. Great place out there. And they do a bunch of beer events. They get guys up from the Central Valley. So you'll find Firestone Walker Beer Night there. You'll also find like 21st Amendment Beer Night. So they're doing a bunch of different beer events. And lot of beer on tap.
Sounds
at Relax
good.
Chillin' and Grillin'. So you get yourself some food, some good beer. Go check them out in Hollister. Relax Grillin' and Chillin'. Let's do some feedback. Here we go. Justin, you're totally right about coffee being in beers other than stouts and porters. See, I told you, Jip.
Me? What? No, I don't think so.
No, you told me. Well, actually, you just pointed out that I have a reverse progression of homebrewing. That I started out doing. I started out as a purist and end up as a throwing everything in.
Or you just need another excuse for a breakfast beer.
Right.
I'm real
good
smart.
Point. This past May, I had
on.
An espresso IPA, and it was amazing. The bitterness of the coffee complemented the hop bitterness amazingly well.
No.
I wish I could remember the brewery that made it.
Oh, must have been real good.
But it was at the end of a long night of drinking. He said.
Yeah, this tasted amazing after my palate was completely trashed and I had no recollection of the. He probably didn't even happen. He probably just had a latte and was like, this is really good.
That was from Keefla. He says, thanks. It was an awesome show.
Sweet.
Okay, here we go. Dear fellow environmentalists, beer is one of the main contributors to the buildup of atmospheric carbon dioxide.
No.
Which, methane.
It's one of the main. The main.
Which we all know no. is the sole cause of global warming. The sole cause,
yes,
even.
So yes.
We at
okay.
Green Tremaine are working with our friends in Congress to mandate the beer brewers purchase, carbon credits as a way of offsetting the environmental damage caused when beer releases carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. For more information on this initiative, visit greentremaine.com/urgentnewsupdate.html. Good title.
Yeah.
For more information about purchasing... Oh, and you can... Oddly enough, you can purchase the carbon credits from them.
Interesting.
For more information about purchasing Green Tremaine carbon credits and for tips on ways to reduce your overall footprint, that's greentremaine.com/carbonfreeliving.html. How old is their website?
Right.
Namaste from Daphne Tremaine.
Namaste.
So I got that email sent from John Palmer. And,
yeah.
so he hit
I got it too.
Forward and just wrote, ha 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 ha.
So yeah.
So the whole crew got
and
it.
And then the answer back, the woman, namaste here, answered, Daphne answered back and saying, oh my God, OMG, you have no idea, this is serious. We're being serious here.
Oh, serious.
So I thought for sure it was JP screwing with us.
No. I'm not
I thought
clever.
I did when I first read it, so we don't...
Well, I haven't clicked on the link because I'm afraid to click on the link.
I haven't clicked on it either.
Yeah, it seems like a... I don't know.
Do they have the lockdown on this, or can the BN sell green credits?
No, we should.
Oh,
be
we can do carbon.
Why not?
That's how Al Gore made a majority of his
green credits.
Hang on, I'm clicking on the urgent news update now. If the whole show goes to shit, you know what happened.
Beep.
GreenTremaine.com. You can be carbon free. Ask me.
Wait, carbon. You're a living thing. You can't be carbon free. Stupid bitch.
Carbon is bad.
No, it says here it's all fake.
Oh my God. It has to be fake.
It's a big fake thing.
Oh, that's too bad. It's a good joke, though.
It is too bad. I wish we had come up with that joke, JP.
Well, I don't have anyone to write with.
Oh. I'm going to need to hire somebody to hold your hand.
Yes, I know!
All right, let's see. Hey, JP and Justin and the rest of the Brewcasters. I just wanted to share an awesome story with you. I'll try to keep it short, so I'll skip past the earth cooling and the dinosaurs dying and right to last Saturday evening. I was finishing up a brew day of my aptly named All Simcoe Cat Pissy IPA called Psycho Kitty.
Keep in mind, he's trying to keep this short.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And enjoying some tasty brews in my front yard. A group of guys comes walking down the street and asks what I'm drinking. They also commented on how the sun was slightly lower in the sky this week than it was last week.
They only drink... they don't carbonate their beer because they don't want to release the carbon when they open the cap.
But I digress.
One of them was wearing Converse All-Stars while the other...
I judged to be about a size 9.
Yeah, fresh white Reeboks.
He's a tall man.
I then notice all three have pint glasses in hand, and one is carrying a growler. It's then that I notice another guy is wearing a Hop Grenade t-shirt.
But let me keep this short.
It just so happens that I was proudly sporting my BNAC homebrew t-shirt. Homebrewer t-shirt. I invited them over to share some great beers and hang out. They told me they had been meaning to stop by because they noticed my BN Army sticker in the back of my truck. So I just wanted to say thanks.
I thought it was going to be something like, you know, they said, fuck you and your Simcoe beer. They clubbed me in the head with the growler and kicked my ass. Right. You have a BN gang on your hands.
In the parking lot.
Because I was proudly flying the BN colors, I was able to meet some great guys and homebrewers in my otherwise lame-ass neighborhood.
That's cute.
Now he's he said, I'm already a PFC in the BN Army, but I need to step it up and raise my rank. Anyway, that is kind of rad. Just right in your neighborhood, a couple homebrewers coming by.
Yeah. It's rad you can buy your own rank.
Cheers from Mike. He says, P.S., if JP bitches because this email was too long, he can suck it. If not, you rock, JP, but you bitch, so suck
it.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could have rocked.
Dear Brewcasters, I'd never heard of Cantillon until hearing about it on your show. After hearing Justin rave about it, I knew I had to get to go to Brussels for a visit. The only beers that they had at the brewery at the time were the Creek, Goose, and the Rose de Gambrinus. But I was able to find the Iris and the Vigneron at bottle shops out of town. I was also able to find a Hop Grenade sticker on the wall.
Oh. Yes, there is one there.
Nice.
I know how at least one of them got there.
I can retire. I'm out.
You can't?
I can die now. I wasn't sure if Justin left it there during his tour. No, I don't ever do that stuff. I feel like a douche. Yeah. I leave it to you guys.
I gave them one, but I didn't put it on anything.
They put it up, I guess.
Yeah, it was that or somebody else.
Probably not till after the interview. You know, then they're like, all right, we can put it up.
They're okay.
Yeah. Tom from Naples, Italy.
You're not going to be happy till there's a Hop Grenade in every hillbilly town, right?
Right.
Yep.
By the way, Tom says, thanks for sucking it, and great work, JP.
Oh, wow.
In that order.
Maybe he thinks JP order. Is John Palmer still.
Yeah, it could
There's
be.
Still those holdouts.
John Palmer.
Yeah.
Justin and crew, quick question. I was wondering if there's a way for me to edit the podcast that I've downloaded in iTunes so that I can order them in any way I wish, i.e. per date. Right now, a few of the podcasts, mainly the Jameel Show I have, don't have a release date. So they're all a bit all over the place. Yeah, they should all have a release date. So that's weird. I'm a bit of a tard when it comes to iTunes. Actually, he's calling it iTunes. So he is. Yeah. I'm a bit of a tard when it comes to iTunes. And I don't know if there's something I can do on my end or not. I also have a OCD and feel like I have to have everything categorized. How do you categorize your podcast in iTunes? Keep up the craziness, or as JP puts it, keep it real.
Hey, just rely.
From Grumpy Old Owl.
Rely on your ADD and forget about it.
They all should have release dates. I'm not sure why the Jameel shows wouldn't have release dates.
And you can sort them by date when you find out that, in fact, they do have dates.
You can just click on the date field up top. There should be several categories, right? And you just click on the date field.
That's correct.
Other than that, I can't help you because I don't use iTunes either. iTunes blows. Yeah. I mean, we use it because it's the major, you know, that's where everybody finds their podcast, but... It blows.
It fucking sucks for organizing stuff like that.
Yeah, so if you really want to organize things, you're going to have to dig deeper, old L. I'm sorry, dude.
Maybe someone just drew a picture of the iTunes interface and taped it to a screen.
You have iTunes.
He's like, I don't understand. It's not even updating.
How do I work iTunes?
If you just show up at JP's doorstep on Friday afternoon, you'd be done by Saturday afternoon.
Oh, easily.
And then you go home.
All right, what do we else we have here? Christian writes in, I know the change in studio and schedule in general have been hectic lately, but I can't be speaking for just myself in asking for more lunch meat. Suck at JP, but in an abnormally good way. Christian from DC.
Abnormally good.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're getting a lot of talk for
care.
Lunch meat. And actually,
I don't care.
I do have a request for someone to sponsor it, an actual sponsor who's considering paying money. This person, we haven't talked money
yet. I've always said it's triple the cost of everything else.
But only if we let the sponsor be on the show.
Oh, God, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It feels like you guys could get some gay-related sponsors for Lunch Meat with the whole rainbow motif, you know?
Who's the sponsor?
I shouldn't. I'll tell you off the air.
All right, let me turn the microphones off.
Okay.
All right, go ahead and tell
me. All right, Boston Brewing Company. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, they'd be
Augie
like,
Bush.
Old Jim is like, I really like it.
I'd have to be on the show. I like, regularly?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, because they enjoy the show and they want to do it.
Well, that takes all the magic out of it being regularly. I like the, like...
There's only one sponsor I can think of that I would allow to be on the show.
Yeah.
And I doubt that's the person asking.
You're right.
If they could do it.
You're right.
Yeah, fuck
His
no.
head would have to be huge.
Fuck no.
You just
no,
keep taking their money and canceling on it. Yeah, we'll get to it next week. Can't do it this week. Sorry.
That being said, I am considering that this Friday might be a good day for lunch meet.
I think it'd be a great day for lunch.
You think?
Oh, the Olympics.
What's the end of the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
It's the end of the Olympics. Right. So we might as well do the Olympics.
The beginning of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Doc can't work.
I think I'm...
Doc ain't working
on Friday.
No, nope.
Yeah, no. but you got the peeps. You got the family back home on Friday, though.
Doc don't care.
This is what happens when Doc's on parade.
This he is Monday
for himself about himself in the third person.
This is Monday, Doc.
Doc can be there.
Yeah, Friday Doc might give a huge fuck, but Monday Doc doesn't.
No, Friday Doc's good.
Friday Doc good. Friday Doc fine iTunes.
Oh yeah.
Friday Dog program iTunes.
All right.
Categorize.
Last one. Suck a dick.
All right.
I am not you target demographic.
No.
I'm a conservative Republican.
From iTunes.
I don't brew beer. Hell, I don't even like beer. I've never tried Cousin. But I love your show. My boss, John, is a huge beer fan. Custom built a pub in his garage that all his neighbors love. They pooled their money and have a pretty cool homebrewing system. So he got into listening to your show at work. So we both listened to it. Starting with the very first ones, working our way to more recent ones. I've really enjoyed getting kind of time-lapse glimpse of your show. It's awesome how far your show has come. The interaction between you guys is the reason I enjoy your show so much. I hardly ever know what you're talking about on your show, but I still have fun listening to your show. Keep up the great work on your show. I added some of those on your show. Just in the beginning, yeah.
What a nice man, though.
He
likes the show, but he hates B.
I noticed you didn't put any like periods or pauses.
In case you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about your show.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
That's cool. That's weird. I don't know why you'd... you know, I can get some of the other parts of the show. You know, the parts everybody, all the beer guys complain about.
Right.
But what do you do during the beer interview? Which tends to go for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
What do you do then when you're not a beer guy?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you do during the meltdown if you're not even a drunk?
Well, he might be a drunk.
Oh, yeah, he didn't say that part. Yeah. He just didn't like beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
He's
drinking something.
He just drinks Johnny Walker Black.
when
he does. I don't know, but to like figure out the feedback email, I don't know. I thought it was pretty nice heart warmer.
Right.
Either that or I have heartburn.
Yeah. All right. You know, we were talking about cask ale today and different beers that you might be able to brew to do cask ale at home. Well, if you want to design a recipe to make an English cask ale, you should be using Beersmith brewing software. You can go to beersmith.com right now and get your free 21-day trial. They've got their newest version out, by the way. And for 21 days, you can try it out, see if it's any good. You know, I might go brew with Doc tomorrow, and I bet he's using Beersmith on that recipe kit. So go check it out, beersmith.com. Brad over there is a good guy. I did a podcast with him not too long ago where we gave the dirty secrets of the BN over there. And he does a whole podcast series also where he interviews a lot of good brewers and people in the industry to talk about what they're doing. He also has a recipe site, and you can now actually share recipes all through the beersmith.com website. So go over to beersmith.com, check it out. And if you're not using that as your recipe software, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you don't have to take my word for it because you get a free 21-day trial. So go check it out on your next brew day. Use it side by side with your other brew softwares. That's how I did it when I used it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, I opened it up on the software I was familiar with, and I brought it. I punched my recipe into the Beersmith software,
mm-hmm.
and because you do, there is a learning curve. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it took me one brew session, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in it to win it. So free 21-day trial. So if it doesn't work for you, you're not out anything. Go to beersmith.com right now. Check it out.
But this time I used it for just a real simple wheat recipe. Just throw it in there. And I had never used the yeast starter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have a Yeast Star tool in there, and I opened that one up, and I used it for that.
How'd you like it?
Nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's pretty all around. I mean, the guy, it's a full-time gig for Brad, so he's spending all his time developing that software and answering your questions and make sure it's right. So
it does a lot of stuff, and I know how to make a Yeast Starter, but I thought I'd just use it through him, and just so I'd have a record of it, too.
Yeah.
It worked out great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like it. All right, check it out. I think we have some beer news.
Really?
Beer news, but I think I'm supposed to be able to play a bump over there.
Just play some real bad music. It'll be the same thing.
Oh, the booth isn't working that great yet. Oh, it's also because I have her microphone on.
Well, and she's just closing the door.
Let's see what happens if I turn the microphone off. Damn it, where's your...
I think she's whispering. Susie, are you whispering?
How cool is that? You call 888-401-BEER. Hi, it's Susie.
What are you doing?
Susie.
I'm going! Oh!
Are you wearing pants?
Oh, I like pants.
Why aren't you wearing pants?
I'm not! Oh!
What?
I don't know.
That was disturbing.
Oh, you turned Doc's mic off.
Did you?
Damn it, why don't I have your news thing, Moscow? I thought it was in this thing.
Doc, is there a latch on your mic that maybe you turned off?
No,
I turned down the wrong one. I turned down him instead of...
maybe it was the right one.
Keep talking now, Susie. Let's see. Oh, it's good. It's not in the microphone.
It's not that, but...
And the door... Oh, the door is closed now.
Yeah, she had the door open, but...
But we haven't even insulated it yet, Doc, and we still can barely hear her.
Yep.
And I don't think you'd hear it at all on the microphones.
I like that. We barely hear her.
Soon it'll be real airtight. It'll be fine.
Oh, she's running out of oxygen. Look, she's turning blue. Really strange.
She's giggling into oblivion.
I must have your thing here somewhere, Moscow. Must be here.
JP, you want to just do it?
I can do it.
Found it!
Oh, shit.
Damn.
All right, let's do some beer news. And before we do...
Home.
Beer news is brought to you today by Bomberg Beer Me. You know Stu Stewart, who does the Belgian Beer Me? He also does the Bomberg trips. He was telling us about that last time we were on the air. Our friend Stu Stewart at Bomberg Beer Me does beer tours of Bomberg, Germany, offering two tours each year to the largest concentration of breweries in the world. And he was talking about it when he was on, and it really made me want to go to Bomberg, actually. The Spring Beer Garden Tour of Bomberg, Rauschbier, and Beyond. And the Fall Bock Beer Tour of Bomberg, which Doc would be into because it probably includes goats.
And it rhymes with Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, it's all cute.
Bomberg, there's no place like it. Also, be sure to like Bomberg Beer Me on Facebook for the latest news and images. And I saw some of the images from that party, too, and it looks like a good time. So I myself would like to do a little bit of Bomberg Beer Me. Go check it out at bombergbeerme.com.
Is that from the back when you Bomberg beer you? From the back?
Right.
Sounds like the Olympics.
There, CNN 5.
From the International News Center in Pacheco, California. What's on tap in the world of beer.
Gotta change that.
You're going to let Moscow come to Martinez.
Yeah, he's still in Pacheco.
Yeah.
Well, that's where our news center is.
On location.
Our friends at Pilsner Urquell, they announced today the winners of its 2012 Master Homebrewer Competition at events in New York City and Chicago. As per usual, homebrewers were tasked with recreating the Czech-style Pils, first brewed in 1842. There was 88 competitors. Two claimed the title of Pilsner Urquell Master Homebrewer.
Two.
The winners were William Posniak of Cinnaminson, New Jersey, and Jeff Lewis of Hilliard, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, each of them get a trip to Pilsen.
I heard about this homebrew competition.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it for a couple of years now. When Pilsner Urquell sponsored our beer TV show, they also launched this competition. But I don't even think the two entities knew about each other.
No, or else it would have been awesome.
But I like this idea that a homebrewer goes and brews a Pilsner, and then the Pilsner Urquell people vote and pick a winner. Because it's a tough style to brew, and I'm a fan of the Pilsner Urquell style. That fresh Pilsner Urquell is an awesome beer. But what's with two winners?
Yeah, I think that's cheating.
What is this, T-ball?
Maybe they think America's very sensitive to being
that's right. They're like T-ball.
They are, and everyone got a participation trophy. Yeah. It's very important.
What surprises
two
me,
people won.
Out of 88.
Right.
The odds are really, really good.
And by the way, you're clearly not advertising on the Brewing Network if you're only getting 88 entries.
Right.
Shit, we could have done that just in the...
Insider.
Just Insider.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. What are they doing wrong with this contest? In fact, who has heard about this contest except for us because it was an internal thing that we were working with Pilsner Urquell?
I didn't hear about it.
Doc didn't even hear about it. What are they doing wrong?
Everything.
Yeah.
Seriously, how can you be Pilsner Urquell and get 88 entries?
It should be Pilsner No-Tell.
We need to call them and tell them, look, I guarantee you double that or your money back. That's easy.
Done. Well, then we should stop talking about it now.
Forget whatever we
said.
That
didn't strike me as I put this story together. But yeah, you're right. 88 is pathetic.
It's
for
ridiculous.
A nationwide contest.
Nationwide.
No. You know, Sam Adams gets... Tasty. Sam Adams gets quadruple that in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, they'll get 350 per four, one of each of the
per
four
region.
Regions.
So how does Sam Adams promote that their homebrew competition?
They do some TV spots.
Okay. They do TV spots. And for 1 year, they did it on here also. But yeah, they do it right on television. Pilsner Urquell, where are they even telling people about this?
Hey, might it be the judging thing where they only have so many judges, so they only can let so many in.
Yeah, someone's messaging me and saying they actually limit the number of entries.
Yeah, because maybe they just don't have the judging capability.
Well, they should fix it. If you're going
to
spend money to do this and make it a promotional tool, fucking do it.
They did one, he said, they did one out here in D.C., and it was the first 20 to sign up. That's stupid.
Is it maybe like, we need to make it feel exclusive or something?
Is it like four regions, 20 or 40?
I was going to say, if 20 were in D.C., that's already a quarter of them.
Yeah, and either way, you should be, you know, it doesn't matter if you limit the number of entries.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just to gauge the popularity of the contest, you know, to see if they want to grow it, but...
It is a gay contest, you're right.
Open it up to everybody, man.
Yeah.
Stupid.
All right, anyway, so two dudes won. What do they get?
They get the trip to Pilsen, and they're going to get to brew a batch of beer with the brewmaster over there, Vlaklav Burka. Mm-hmm. So I guess they'll just sort of stand there while Vaclav does his thing.
While he pushes the buttons.
Yeah.
And then I wait.
All right.
All right.
Go make some barrels. We have to put it in something.
A new study reports that beer is an excellent recovery beverage for marathon runners, but the beer was only effective if it was non-alcoholic. So what they did, it was researchers at Technical University of Munich. Shocking.
Right.
So to study it, what they did is they had healthy male runners, mostly in their early 40s, who were training for the Munich Marathon, drink a bunch of beer. Half the group got alcohol-free beer. The other half got a placebo, and like no one knew who was drinking what. The men drinking the non-alcoholic beer reported far fewer illnesses than the runners that had the placebo, and they showed a lot less inflammation, lower counts of white blood cells, etc. So they... better immune system, they were able to perform better in the marathon.
Of course!
I'd like to know what was inflamed.
You're right. Me too.
Their sense of national pride.
Wait a minute. You got a bunch of guys in Munich drinking beer, and nobody knows which one had the NA beer, and which one did it.
Good point.
Well, and the way you said it, we didn't know whether they gave him a bunch of beer and made him run. Or made them run and then gave them a bunch of beer.
I'm picturing them on treadmills with like diodes attached to their forehead.
Of
you know?
Course.
Yeah.
I used to help perpetuate a rumor, but I did it because I believed in it and I just never looked it up. I just thought, oh, that makes sense to me. That, you know how marathon runners, you know, there's all the people holding out the cups.
The
and
cups
you just
of whatever,
the
yeah.
cups, and it's always like water. I always, you know, I heard somewhere that like it was, that in some places it's beer. Like you can grab, because the carbs.
Because you always see them spit it out.
And I was like, oh yeah, of course it's beer. That makes sense. I used to tell people that all the time. I never run a marathon in my life, but I'd walk around going, oh yeah, those marathon runners, they those cups, beer. It's beer. You've seen on television. That's beer.
But more than half the time, they just splash it on their face.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah,
well, they have a drinking problem.
It makes me break through that wall every time.
Exactly. But if you think about it, it does make logical sense, you know. Cup of beer.
How about we try that? We'll go out and run.
Carb loading.
We're going to go out and run a 1K and see how it works.
Yeah. Are you going to answer that call, Suze?
Oh, no.
That's on hold?
Really? That's that red thing.
Oh, I had my
45
button.
Minutes.
I had my button covered.
Don't cover your button.
His name is Jamil. He said he was online for feedback.
Really?
Really?
His name is Jamil.
Mr. Mill.
He wants to answer the feedback.
Jamil wouldn't stay on hold that long.
Jamil.
Hey.
Hey, Jamil. What's happening?
How's it going, brother?
How are you, dude? What's happening?
Good. I'm just enjoying the show. I love being moved to Monday nights. I think it should be a full-time thing.
You're the only one, Jamil.
No! Yes. There's two of us.
No, that's true. You and Justin.
I love this idea that Jamil has to move it to Mondays permanently.
Boo.
Right.
A massive one.
And then I could come down to the show more often.
See? Now, Jamil is in the demographic of my concern, though, because I know he's a football fan. Mm-hmm. The concern arises is what happens during football season, Jamil.
Well, the Chiefs are always going to lose, so it doesn't matter.
I see.
I could just smell the slippery slope here. Pretty soon it's going to be Tuesday, then Wednesday.
Yeah.
Come on, where's it going to stop?
But really, we have to compete.
Here's the thing about Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Now, Monday Night Football used to be great. And really now, Sunday Night Football is great, and Monday Night Football is really, moved to...
Just say it.
Cheesy crap.
Okay.
Perfect. So fans are looking for an alternative anyway.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Mondays are sweet.
They don't mind recording it.
Yeah, I love this. Hey.
And then since we bottle every Monday, I could just bring some beer with me from the bottling right to the studio.
You know what? I've turned the corner. I'm all about the Monday night broadcast.
It gets better all the time.
I still say no.
Yeah.
JP says no. You can't move D&D to Tuesday? You're kidding me.
Everyone who plays has a family and the
Wednesday,
only
Thursday.
Wait.
D&D, man.
We've tried.
Hold on. D&D people having a family? What?
Yeah.
How do they do that? Doesn't that require intercourse?
Everyone has family and
they can't
kids.
Procreate.
Everybody
okay.
calls bullshit.
I'm going to take off Tuesdays then.
See? Doc's moving his day off.
It'll work. It'll work.
Now, speaking of Jamil's beer, have you guys tried his...
Grammarly?
We're drinking it right now?
Yep.
Are you drinking it right now?
Have some.
The Grammarly
Tasty was kind enough to bring us some.
What do you call it, Jamil? Is this your Session IPA? Is that what you call it?
Wow.
Yeah, Session Pale Ale.
Session Pale Ale. This beer
is... I'm drinking it right now.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
It's... All right, now I'm an Evil Twin fan.
Delicious.
I've been Evil Twin all the way since they opened, all right? That's my beer. Gray Marais? Ew, man, it's right there now. It's creeping up on my Evil Twin fandom. I'm telling you.
I like the name Evil Twin better, but I like this beer better than all the other Heretic beers besides Taffel Bully.
It's an awesome, awesome beer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That rye spiciness is right there. There's a lot of hop flavor. You can actually drink a lot of it. It's not a shitty IPA. It's great.
What's the whole idea behind this beer, Jamil?
I just gave it to you.
Oh.
We're kind of getting tired of drinking beers at 7%, 8%. So I'm like, well, we got to make something lower alcohol that I can drink.
Right.
More often.
But it has all the flavor.
Yeah, we just figured we'd do it. Yeah. Oh, it's got a ton of flavor.
Now,
it turned out really nice.
Us beer nerds, we get it. But is everybody else getting it? Are they? How's it doing?
I think the distributors were a little slow on the uptake. They're kind of like, 4.4%. Okay, yeah, we'll be ordering some of that, all right.
Right.
And I think the consumer will get it. There's a lot of, beer geeks that are looking for. Every time I go, somewhere like Beer Revolution, I look to see what's the lowest alcohol thing they got on the board. And then I, start with that and very slowly work my way through their low alcohol pint so I can enjoy a few.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Yeah, every once in a while I want something a little easier to drink, something I can just have a few of.
I made this beer for me.
The thing is, if you didn't tell me it was what
I
like,
I'll end up drinking with it.
If you didn't tell me it was low alcohol and you just gave it to me, I would have just thought, wow, what another great pale ale.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
It tastes like 5.5% beer. It's really nice.
You could use it as a placebo in a German running experiment.
So where's the name Cram-Mary come out of it?
Cram-Mary.
Stagsville that he saw in his bachelor party.
It comes from what was happening when I was drinking 8% beers all the time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Special form of diarrhea.
Cramming Mary. And,
yeah. You wake up in the morning, ah, oh, shit, I crammed Mary again.
Well, Ron, the whole reason I called was
now she's
I wanted to get some feedback on the Sunday session.
Okay, go ahead, please.
You know, I've been really busy, and I kind of fell behind on listening to the Sunday session. I don't know, I was a year or two behind. And recently I downloaded some shows, and I started listening to them on long plane flights and drives and things like that. And no homo, I was really so enjoying the shows and just everything you guys are doing, and the entertainment value, the information value, just it's a fantastic way to spend time. And I just forgot how much I really loved listening to the Sunday session, and the Monday session,
right?
And
thank you.
I just I don't want to go on too long, but I just I had to tell you, I really, really enjoy it, and I'm really thrilled. And if you guys are still taking donations for the rest of the crew there, let's see, you guys have what, 6 people working tonight? That's Justin.
Yeah.
Put me down for like $20 a piece. Put me down for $120.
Wow.
I'll take the cat.
Wow, that's very generous.
Are we still taking donations?
We'll do it tonight.
All right.
It had fizzled out because people weren't responding, but Jamil just started the pool at 120 bones. Everything you donate during the show tonight will go toward the 6 members of the crew that are not me. And if you do it, I'll give every penny to them. And, well, Jamil, that's nice of you. And Jamil and I talk about our shows, too, and most of the time it's making fun of each other. so it's very nice. I've always respected Jamil's opinion, especially about our content, because...
we have none.
Well, the man knows what he's talking about, so it's not, so that is a great compliment for me.
Yes.
Thank you, Jay-Z. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're enjoying the shows, man, while you travel.
Can I trade my $20 for Heretic beer credit?
No, Moscow just wants Heretic beer credit.
Yeah.
Heretic beer credit.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, he's like,
I'll get back to you.
We'll see what happens.
Sounds like more work.
All right, Jay-Z. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thank you. You guys keep up the good work.
Will do. Cheers,
hey,
man.
Hey, you too.
There you go.
Jamil.
He gets drunk of the week.
Yeah, he must be drunk, liking us.
Giving us money,
giving
all
us
kinds
money
of stuff.
And stuff and praise.
How much of that Cram Mary's he been drinking?
I know.
Cram Mary.
He's calling another podcast right now. You know what I really like about the Car Talk podcast? Is that
I forgot how good you get.
Your content is just so great.
Do you take donations?
I like Jay-Z wants to switch to Mondays.
Nope. He has no say in it. He's not even on the show.
You don't have any say in it either.
I'm on the show.
It doesn't matter.
Saying.
Well, if it doesn't matter, I'll do
either
Sunday.
Here nor there.
I'll do the Sunday show.
Sunday. Yeah.
I'll just sit in here for 3 hours.
Listen, if you had like, if your mother came back to life every Monday night, I would consider not moving it to Mondays. That's about the extent of
really?
The. But.
Only thing in my life that brings me joy and happiness, you're going to take it away?
I'm not moving the show for Dungeons and Dragons night.
It's not.
That could be any night.
It can't.
It can't.
We have a good thing going on Sunday already.
There's
everyone has approval from their wives to come.
Let's look at it this way. Those guys have nothing else to do.
I know.
Believe me.
On any other day.
No, they do.
When you tell them it's going to be Wednesday, they're all going to make it work.
They will cry.
Guarantee it.
They're all going to make
tell
it work.
Tell you what. We'll put you in here collecting your full paycheck on a Sunday night.
Right. It's going to work.
Great.
It's going to
work.
Trust me. They're all going to figure it out because they can't live without D&D.
Why don't you invite them in here and you can do Dungeons & Dragons on the air?
Yeah, well, we'll put you down there.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we'll go to our Dungeons & Dragons segment of every show.
All right.
Yeah.
And now D&D talk with JP.
Well, I don't know why you didn't just flank him and then that way he'll take a -2. But if you're on the chair... and then get on the table, then it's a -3 to hit.
Wow. And that was D&D talk with JP.
Dude, no. Take the 6 hit points on your sword, man.
I rolled a 2.
Upgrade the sword.
Oh, boy. All right, what else you got, Mosk?
Here's some fun beer statistics.
Oh, we're still doing beer news.
In a national survey of homebrew supply shops, the BA found that gross revenue grew 16% from 2009 to 2010, and again from 2010 to 2011. Additionally, the number of homebrew clubs in the U.S. now stands at 1,100, which is a huge increase from 700 in 2007. So
the BN, though, is slowly absorbing all homebrew clubs.
Right.
So it, that number will reduce.
Slowly?
Slowly, yeah.
Yeah, well, right now, about half the people buying the beginner's kits are under the age of 30, so it's we already know this, but a young hobby for the most part. Most of the other half are over the age of 50, so not a lot in between the 20-somethings and the older dudes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
23% increase in membership in the Homebrewers Association in just the last year. And last year's Homebrewers Conference saw more than 50% growth over the previous year and sold out in less than 48 hours, as you guys know. So, yeah, big growth, big time, explosive numbers.
Is anybody else high as shit from the paint fumes in this room?
It's the burning refinery, too, man. I'm high as hell. This is great.
I mean, I haven't... Listen.
I don't know. I came in high.
Doc.
Kind of smelled like solvent on the sidewalk out in front, too, man.
I swore I took a shower.
We just got the studio painted, and it just hit me right now. Like,
really?
It's all I can smell. It's all going down my throat.
You want to fart?
High as fuck.
Maybe you shit paint for a while.
What else you got, Mosk?
The California governor, Jerry Brown, he signed a bill that ensures that beer aged in used wooden barrels will continue to be tax license regulated and labeled as beer.
Yeah, which, I saw that.
Yeah, it was kind of an issue because, the VA sponsored the bill due to concerns that the current law creates legal ambiguity on how wooden barrel aged beers are to be defined and categorized for purposes of taxation and regulation, because basically they could be considered distilled spirits and thus taxed at a much higher rate. They might also be regulated as distilled spirits, and because of the licensing mandates, a beer manufacturer would therefore not be allowed to make barrel-aged beers. So, which luckily, was, no longer an issue.
And it's good that that passed. It was a big stupid thing. Basically, the idea was that now that brewers were putting their stuff in Belgian, or not Belgian, in barrels, that may or may not have a puddle of whiskey left at the bottom of them.
Yes.
That now we're adding alcohol. We're actually adding distilled spirit to our beer.
You're fortifying.
So it should be, it should be regulated as such.
And not just a puddle at the bottom, but in the wood, there's a few shots.
Which would have ruined barrel-aged beer in California, because the taxation, it just goes up to a whole other...
Let's put it this there. I get really pissed off when they want tax. Because they're taxing twice. They already taxed the guys that are producing the whiskey, and now they want to tax it again because that whiskey is not the whiskey that comes out. It's the whiskey that goes in.
Right.
And now, just because a little bit extra from the barrel goes into the beer, they're going to tax it again.
Or
regulate it because it's 1% more or 2% more.
Typically 2%.
I'll tell you a tax I'd support. Tax D&D Monday.
Hey.
You know?
Hey. Taxation without representation. I want a full membership to whatever board you're on.
Yeah, that's what I throw.
I know my rights.
I'm glad that so the governor basically said, hey, we're going to leave it alone, right?
Yeah, which is shocking because, you know, the California governor, you would think he'd never bet a tax he didn't like. But in this case, he said, no can do.
Well, Scott just got 80 years old right there.
Never saw a tax he didn't like.
Hey, were you around when he was governor the first time?
Oh, yeah, back when Taft was in office?
No, when he was dating Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, he was governor in the 70s, wasn't he?
Was he banging Linda?
Wow.
Oh, real hard.
Like, said he was a pretty good
bump. I was a little pissed off about
that. He was cramming her.
He was cramming Ronstadt. That's the new heretic beer, Cramstadt.
No, that was Alan Cramstadt.
I see. All right. Anything else, Mosky?
I got one more. Another governor doing good things for beer. In this case, for Mississippi. The governor there, Phil Bryant, he signed a bill into law that raises the alcohol by weight to 8%. So by volume, like, that's about 10.1.
Okay.
So yeah, that bill went into effect July 1. And so now there's a much wider variety of craft beer available in Mississippi. So enjoy.
Love it. All right, don't forget that was brought to you by Bomberg Beer Me, our good friend Stu Stewart. Go check him out and do yourself a trip to Bomberg. All right, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, Drunk of the Week, and then we're out of here. And Terrence the Black is back in the studio. So
why?
Must be done.
They didn't let you out of Martinez?
I thought we locked the door.
Secession. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
This
summer, Reed Antis from New York won fully paid tuition to the 2012 World Brewing Academy Concise Course in Brewing Technology, thanks to Lalamon and Danstar and their 2012 Beer School Contest. It was so much fun, they're doing it again, announcing Danstar's Beer School 2013 Contest. From now until December 13th, 2012, every time you use Lalamon or Danstar Premium Brewing Yeast, your empty packet is your entry for a chance to win a professional brewing course. In the Beer School 2013 contest, Lalamon will sponsor two lucky winners, one professional brewer and one home brewer, in a random drawing for fully paid tuition to the 2013 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth nearly $4,000. This course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Get your official entry form and rules at danstaryeast.com. Get brewing with the dry yeast advantage from Lalamond and Danstar. Visit danstaryeast.com. When Michael Fairbrother started moonlighting, he had no idea how quickly his dream was going to grow. Having homebrewed for 15 years, Michael decided to go pro, but not with beer. While attending his homebrew club meetings, he saw ladies knocking their men out of the way to try his mead. Moonlight Meadery is now 2 years old and can produce 200,000 bottles a year. It's the first New Hampshire winery to ever distribute to California and Australia. In fact, you can find Moonlight Meadery meads in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, Rhode Island, Vermont, and New Hampshire, and they ship direct to 17 states. They produce 56 different varieties of mead and are unlike anything you've ever seen on the market. Michael Fairbrother at Moonlight Meadery is a real success story that can make the BN Army proud. Visit Moonlight Meadery in Londonderry, New Hampshire, or online at moonlightmeadery.com.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Did you know the Brewing Network's very own Code Right and Fool's son, Ryan Wolf, has opened a beer mecca in Missouri? The Wolf Brow House of Beer has hundreds of beers from all over the world and is conveniently close to I-70 in St. Peter's. Free tastings Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. featuring special guests from local breweries. The best build-your-own six-pack around with every style represented. And kegged craft beer available for your kegerator, too. There's always something new at the Wolf Brow House of Beer. New and hard to find beer every week. No two visits are the same, just like passing out at the Rat Pad.
Hi, this is Ryan from Wolf Brow House of Beer. Mention the Brewing Network when you stop in for some cool free stuff. Mention JP for a swift kick in the ass.
The Wolf Brow House of Beer. Beer with personal service from a member of the BN Army.
This is Code. Visit my son's shop or I'll yank the fuck BN website down.
www.wolfbrow.com.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. It's exactly. So easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters are back.
Whatever. Yeah, welcome back. 888-401-BEER. You can call in for Drunk of the Week. And Bevo is just joining us now in the studio. She's hanging out.
Hi.
What's up, Beve? Enjoying your night off?
Yes.
Now, Bevo is not with her big boobs out all over the place.
Boo!
But...
a third of the way.
Still looking super hot, Beef. Yeah, usually I just focused on the boobs. So sometimes when you put them away, we remember that the rest of you is hot.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so well done,
Beef. Not if I keep eating deep fried Oreos.
That might not help.
Oh, wow.
They were hella good.
Is that what you just ate for dinner?
Well, yes.
Deep fried Oreos.
No, that was dessert. But
good Lord.
Dinner was deep fried Twinkies.
I couldn't finish them all, though.
I had a Bell Beefer for dinner.
Oh, no, not Twinkies.
18 of them?
That's too much. I ate four of them.
What does a deep fried Oreo look like? Is it all breaded?
Like a hush puppy.
Yeah, it looks like a big hush puppy.
Like a hush puppy.
It sounds disgusting.
Pretty tasty now.
I've been over there. I've been a creek monkey. I've seen.
Oh, so tasty. So my nephew.
I've never had one myself. I see people eat them.
So. Oh, sure.
Mm. So my
it kills my beer palate.
My 5-year-old nephew's been in town all week. My brother and everything, and we're doing a bunch of housework. I have my Volkswagen open because I had tools in there, so kind of coming in and out of it. My nephew likes to play in the bus.
Playhouse.
He's like, hey, can I go play in the bus, Uncle Justin? Sure, go ahead. He comes out about 5 minutes later, and I'm not paying attention because I'm working on something with my dad. And he goes, Uncle Justin, can I eat this?
No.
And I'm like, can I eat this candy?
The cookie.
And I'm like, let me see it. What is it? He brings it up. A little tasty logo on it, a little foil wrapped tasty cookie. And I'm like, no!
Absolutely not. Well,
do not eat anything that you find in the Volkswagen.
Now give me that cookie.
Give me that cookie. At least he, a good kid though, right?
Good
move
there.
At least he asked because his parents wouldn't have been too happy.
No.
We were doing a bunch of yard work that day. It was like about the middle of the day.
Probably would have killed him.
Well, the kid would have been like,
oh, no, he'd have been fine.
No.
Mom.
They've been tested.
That tree that you are trimming is amazing.
Why are you cutting it, man? It's alive.
Oh, you're
so
hurting it.
Mom, hungry.
You're cutting the arms off Mr. Tree.
Mom, can I have more Doritos?
Again.
Oh, my God, Mom. That hole that you're digging, it's so amazing.
I'm flying.
Can I have more Doritos?
I'm going to eat the tree, dude.
Mom.
I'm a beaver.
I'm tired.
Can I just lay here on the sidewalk?
Could you get me some Doritos?
You know what I really want to do is filter beer right now.
Yeah, he starts saying all sorts of weird things. Can I have some Doritos? I got to turn her microphone off. That's a problem. I got to get her on mute in that
booth. She doesn't have an on-off switch?
No, it's a temporary microphone right now.
That's horrible.
Oh, looks like we're getting drunk of the week calls.
Whatever.
No, good.
I'm in there. You know I'm not going to know how to use the mute switch anyway.
Well, yeah.
So.
All right, let's go to Sean the Cat Unicycler calling in for drunk of the week.
That's so creepy.
Is that really a nickname?
I love it.
Hey, Sean, what's happening, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. You calling in for drunk of the week?
You got that right.
How drunk are you?
You got that right.
I'm doing all right. I'm on a dog vacation here.
You're on a dog vacation?
Kid, no wife, no kids.
Oh, yeah? Where are the wife and kids at?
They're visiting family.
2 feet underground.
I used to love her. All right, what have you had to drink tonight?
I've had a couple of porters, had a couple of Berliner Weisses, then I had
a couple of Berliner
Weiss.
Yeah.
Berliner Weiss.
Yeah.
Then I got a pale ale that I bottled yesterday.
Hang on a second. Are you by yourself?
I am right now, yeah.
Hey, turn down your speakers in the background, will you?
Done.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Well, don't say done. You didn't do it before you said done. You lied to us.
How old are you?
Well, I pushed the button.
Take douchery to a whole new level, JP.
How old are you, Sean?
Old enough. How old are you?
I'm 34.
Wow.
I don't give a shit.
I got you beat by a couple years.
So you're not 40 yet, though. How old's your wife?
Dead silence. Did he die?
He
doesn't know how to respond properly when his radio's turned off.
Yeah, I can't hear you anymore.
He's confused now that it's not confusing.
You done got me confused. Hey, Sean. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
How's it going? I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So, how would your... Now, if your wife was home, how would she know that you're drunk tonight?
Because I kissed on her.
How would she know that I was... restaurant.
Yeah, what would she say to you?
I'd smell her panties.
Well, she wouldn't say anything because she would be here. And then I wouldn't be drunk.
Mm.
You don't get drunk around your wife?
All right. Yeah, you're not allowed.
Not usually.
She called me a some bitch.
Really? Why? She doesn't like it when you get drunk, huh?
Well, there's too much to do around the house.
Jesus. Now, see? Now, people ask me, how can we not married? I mean, I'll do that. I mean, I'll get married. Well, because... Yeah,
there's too much to do around the house.
There's too much to fucking do around the house. Exactly. Oh, I see. All right. All right, well, hey, Sean, yeah, you're in the running for Drunk of the Week, man.
Definitely.
How long you been home brewing?
Let's see. Since about 2009. No, take that back. About 2000. So it's been about 10 years.
Wait.
Now you're talking math.
Now, do you have to check in on Brew Day, too? Like, how do you get Brew Day in?
No. It's right on the whole doc schedule. I mean, it's basically get up early before they wake up, get it going, get it done before anything actually has to happen.
I see. I gotcha. Mm. All right, Sean, you're in the running for Drug of the Week, my brother.
Thank you.
Later, dude.
Sounds like a horrible relationship.
Listen, how awful is that?
Fuck that, dude.
And I'm careful to say this because there's a lot of people that are in this situation.
Yeah, that are stuck.
But I just don't want that.
No.
Now, I know what you're saying out there. You're going, well, you don't have kids yet. And you don't know what it's like.
You don't know what it's like.
You don't have this. Let me tell you what it's like. It's like this. You don't put yourself in that situation.
Right.
Who wants to... I don't know. Look, maybe he's happy. People are happy with what they do.
No.
They're happy. I don't
want to... Did you hear the sound in his voice? That man is
not a happy man.
He hasn't been truly happy since 1984. He has no idea what happiness means anymore.
I'm all for compromise, all right? It's a two-way street. I get it.
Of course.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But what's with the permission and the well, you're not doing this. You know, I have to do it before anybody wakes up because there's things to do.
Yeah.
What things? Like, can't you do the things on a schedule? Like, hey, I'll get that done. I see what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I will get it done.
No. Yeah. Apparently, all the things come first before you. By then, it's like 10 o'clock at night and it's too late to brew.
Where do these people get off? Like, nah, you have to do it the way I tell you to do it.
Get married too early and too young, dude.
I don't know. It scares me. That being said, my dad's been married 6 times. I don't know. Who's on, let's see, Nico Brew. Nico Brew? Is it AK? Yeah, it's Nico Brew on too. Nico, what's happening, man?
Yo, what's up, man?
What, are we an afterthought?
What's going on?
What? What?
Hi, Nico.
Hey, Nico North here.
Nico North?
Yeah, Nico's brother-in-law / business partner.
Oh, hi, Nico's creepy shadow.
Oh, I like this. Did you meet Nico North?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Wait, is Nico...
I told him that's how I was going to refer to him.
Wait, the dude who's...
He was real quiet.
I was introduced as, this is my guy who runs the warehouse in... That's his... He didn't tell me it's his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Why did Nico leave that out when he was telling me?
A.K.A. Nico's creepy shadow.
I see.
Who is very nice.
Right. But now that he's drunk,
what's
he's talking.
Up,
I didn't hear him say two words at NHC, but now that he's drinking.
I never even met the dude.
This is, you know how I know you know how I know Nico North is drunk?
How?
He's talking.
Yeah,
he's
speaking.
Fuck yeah, I am.
All right.
Oh, that's great.
What have you been drinking?
I had a 12-pack of... I had a 12-pack of Maui Brewing Company's mix pack.
Really?
A six pack of apple cider from Mean Apple or some shit like that.
Angry Orchard.
Yeah, that's it. And I ran out of beer, so now I've got 2 past blue ribbons in right in front of me.
When did you start with those?
When did you start?
As soon as the show started.
Good Lord. My gosh.
Holy crap.
How many times have you peed?
I peed 5 times and I threw up on my keyboard once and on myself another time.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Wow. A 12-pack of Maui?
Good Lord.
Yeah. How much you making over there, Nico Brunorth? You guys need a social media manager?
I can't hear what you're saying right now, dude. I'm so fucked up.
All right, Nico North, you are in the running for Drug of the Week, my friend. What? He's like a...
It's
like
a sign.
Holy shit! My neighbor just yelled, yeah!
No, that was your neighbor? He sounds like one of those. Sounds like one of those things in Lord of the Rings.
He sounds like you peeking on the keyboard 20
God.
Minutes ago.
A wraith?
Yo, is JP there?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
JP, yo, Jason, we're sending you a T-shirt as soon as I sober up, dude.
Can't wait. I need another beer shirt to
we're
sit in my closet.
You. Woo! I got your threads.
Motherfucker! Oh my God, I can't wait to hear this tomorrow!
Alright, you're in the running, man. Do you want to sing us a song before you go?
You'll be wildly disappointed,
oh,
so you know.
I'm so happy, cause today I found my friend.
Jesus.
In my head.
Yeah!
That's all I got,
too. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now go find a shotgun.
All right, Nico North, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the running for Drunk of the Week. Let's go to Aceto back there. What's happening, brother? Oh, he hung up.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no, he's there. Is that a Aceto? Oh, it's not Aceto? Who's this one? Oh, sorry. Hang on, Zeus. Who's that?
B. This is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. What's B. happening?
Yeah, you can call me B.
Yeah, what's up, B?
What yeah, what's up?
B?
V?
What's up, B?
Let's do it, do it.
All right.
I don't know. You tell me.
You called us, stupid.
Here, I got to turn the, there we go, turn the computer off.
No, don't, that'll just confuse you.
How do we know you're drunk?
Because I'm already retarded.
Okay. Do you know any NSYNC songs?
No. But, you know, I get them mixed up with the Backstreet Boys.
You know any Backstreet Boys songs?
No, I get them mixed up with Sonny and Cher.
You know, Sonny
yeah,
and Cher.
You know. I'm just such a big fan.
What have you been drinking?
Bleach?
I drank a case and Natural Light.
Wait a second.
I like that. No, this is our change of pace.
A case is 24.
Don't encourage him.
There's no way you drink 24 natural lights. There's no way.
Are you kidding? Easy.
What the hell
30.
Did you do
no,
that
there's
for?
There's 30.
Were you doing it in the context of a game, like beer pong or something, or were you just chugging them?
I'm just lonely.
Well, that's not the reason.
There's no one to play beer pong.
In case I'd have a truck in natural light.
Are you married?
I'm divorced.
Recently?
Yep.
Oh.
She preferred good beer. It was irreconcilable.
Oh.
No, I homebrew good beer, but...
but she took everything, so now I have natural light.
She preferred work. She preferred work.
She preferred John over me.
Exactly. That bitch. I hate work.
Yep. Me too.
All right. Well, are you going to go out and get laid now, or you should be in strip clubs or something?
What does she do for a job better than you?
She's a professor and not
working. Yeah. So teaching kids is better than being with this guy. Then we're going to give him a medal? No.
Jeff!
Yeah, I want two medals.
Yo, one for being drunk and one for kicking that bitch to the curb.
I want two medals just to add extra weight while I drown myself.
Right.
Yeah, okay, you know, I drink a case, so what do I get?
Well, you drank a lot. It sounds like a lot.
Besides cirrhosis? Nothing, man. I don't know.
Hangover? That's about it.
Yeah. I think all you're going to end up with is, a really shitty hangover. Why didn't...
All right, I'll take it.
Do you not have any homebrew on tap?
I actually have, in the spirit of JP, an Imperial IPA.
Ugh. Nice. Yep.
So why aren't you drinking that if it's so good?
It actually is good, but it's sitting on dry hops.
I don't even understand.
I will always love you. What's up with that?
Katy Perry on the phone.
It sounds like Blobbers on the other line.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's like another language. Listen, you are in the running for drunk
Canadian.
Of the week, my friend. Are you from Canada?
No, I'm from Michigan.
Same
close
thing.
Close enough.
But that's basically Canada.
Right.
At least to, you know, if you're in the Bay Area.
I have seen the map of North America, and it's weird. The border does dip down in a sharp V right up at the middle of the country and come back up. It's fucking weird.
It is
weird.
Yeah.
I'm like Canada's teabag.
That's a good point. All right, B.
What's up, B?
All right, so I need a medal.
Well, you're...
It's there. Turn around.
You're like, look, I got nothing else, buddy. I need the medal. Got nothing left.
Hey,
please.
I only have one case of Natural Light. Come on. And then I got to go to the Imperial IPA, so...
Should we pre-cut the medal in half for you so your wife can take the other one?
That's my ex-wife.
No.
That's, hey, ex-wife, fucker!
Get it right.
Yeah!
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Man.
So you failed out of her class, I guess. You did it that way.
I think you came out.
I taught her everything she knows.
Really? How fresh is this wound? How long you guys been divorced?
Separated from since September.
Yeah.
And legally divorced recently.
You gotten any strange yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me? Yep. I'm a fucking sex machine, bro.
That's a no.
What would you say?
Fuck that, no. Fuck that. No, I got a few.
Yeah, I'm getting it right now.
Yeah, fucker.
You can't even hear it? It's happening right now.
Yeah. In fact, I'm almost done.
I finished twice during this phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are taking up my time. Come on.
All right, brother. You're in the running for Drunk of the Week, man.
All right. I need a medal.
All right. Thanks for the call, dude.
All right. Peace out.
All right.
Peace is in, dude. Peace is always in.
What am I going to? Four?
Hell.
Yes.
Fierce Beard? Oh, Fierce Beard. Fierce Beard, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening? I'm having a pretty good night.
You sound like it.
You see, Jip? Fucking Monday works, dude.
Yeah, does it?
No, it doesn't.
See?
Yeah.
What is your objection to Monday night, Fierce Beard?
Well, I usually have to be at work by like 5 o'clock on Monday morning. But today is my birthday. So it just sort of worked out.
Which, by the way, has nothing to do with Tuesday morning.
No, it didn't until just a couple hours ago. I got a text message from my boss saying that tomorrow I got moved to night shift.
Huh? Ah.
There you go.
So tonight I'm free to be whatever I want to be.
And what is it you want to be, Fierce Beard?
Drunk of the Week.
What do you do?
I do precision sheet metal forming and fabrication.
I see.
And also, I operate two giant lasers.
All right. Hi, Beef. See you later.
The way you talk, it sounds like one of them hit you in the head recently.
I get beat up by metal all the time.
Yeah, you do.
So.
Have you only been drinking beer tonight?
Only beer.
Smoke some weed?
At least one of them was, well, maybe a little.
You drink some booby milk?
With that laugh, you know he's a stoner.
Not this time. No booby milk. No booby milk lately, but I did get a big strong beer. I drank a Ruination that I got for my birthday, 10th anniversary. It was like 10-8 or something like that.
And then what? Did you do it like a bong rip or just like a joint?
No, it was really mostly like gin and tonics with some friends of mine until they had to all go home because they have to work on Tuesday.
Right.
Suckers.
So then I just went home and like, you know, maybe I burned a little. Maybe I drank some strong beers. Who knows what happened.
We're not your mom, bro. You can like come clean.
Cool. Maybe I rubbed it out to a little bit of good porn. I don't know.
Yeah. Red Shoe Diaries on demand, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we're not his mom, but everything is alleged these days, JP. Everything. Everything's alleged. Suspected.
Well, that's alleged of you to say.
Yeah, you got
to
be careful. you know, when you're going on the record.
Right. That's Fierce Beard. All right, Fierce Beard, you are in the running for Drunk of the Week. Thanks, man. Let's see. What else we got here? what are we, back to Wes?
Oh, this is Doctor Buddy, our buddy.
Wes, what's happening, man?
The buddy.
How did you know it was me?
Susie tells me that you and Gay Kyle burned your clothes in protest when you didn't win Drunk of the Week last week.
Last week Kyle burned his clothes. And this night, I've spilled an old chub all over my laptop. I was watching the show until about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. And then your laptop fizzled?
This night. And then on this night.
A fortnight ago, we tried
fizzled,
to win.
Bro. It fizzled. We burnt all of his clothes and his shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. I was trying to get back to see this shit.
So as usual, Kyle's standing there naked in front of you.
No, I'm by myself tonight with my dog.
I see. Yeah,
that's why he spelled, quote, old chub all over him.
Right.
I've done that. It's fine.
I see. What have you been drinking, Wes?
What have I been drinking? Do you want me to give you the whole list? Or just
give me an idea.
Just point out your personal highlights.
All right, well, I had a Hub IPA. That's my favorite. Hub's this shit. I had a New Belgium collaboration with Elysian.
Which is also sort of my favorite, but not quite my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had two old Chubb cans.
Yeah, you did.
My real favorite. I had a Line Dry Rye from Odell. And I'm pretty hammered.
All right. You're in the running for Drunk of the Week, Wes.
Ruined.
Yeah,
I want to talk to you guys.
Well,
everybody gets like a fucking 45-minute phone call, and I'm getting a 5-minute. Yeah,
they don't have a dog to talk to.
Right. Wes is lonely. He wants to talk, JP. Talk to Wes.
Wes, what's up, bro?
Jip. What's going on?
You know what I think you should do? I think you should cut your hair 2 inches shorter on one side of your head than the other. And then that way, when people look at you and go, "What did you do to your hair?" you can just stare at them and go, "Nothing. Why?" And then stare at them real hard.
That would be ridiculous.
See?
Maybe 75 inches shorter on one side.
This is all Wes needs. Needs a little talk.
He does.
I got this song for you, Wes.
What's that?
Here's a song for your loneliness.
Are you guys in a God of Vidivitting?
Yes. So I wrote you this song. This song's for you and Kyle. If you ever been to this, it's called Winning Ride.
You know the lines can be real long.
But I tell Kyle to stay naked. Stay naked, Kyle.
Who the fuck is Kyle?
It's his buddy.
Oh.
His gay buddy.
His old chub buddy?
Yeah.
Ball friend. Sexy Michael Starico. I'll take your
ass for Winning Ride. Spread your cheeks. Just pretend it's Kyle singing it to you.
Wes, I want to be your boyfriend. I'm gonna take your ass for a weenie ride. Hold on tight, cause I'm coming inside. It's better than a Ferris wheel or a water slide. It's Wes's backside.
All right, we got Matt. What's up, Matt?
Doing good. How are you guys tonight?
We're doing all right. What's going on, man? Drunk?
Yeah. A little bit.
All right. You by yourself?
What happened to Wes?
I am all by myself, like the first caller. My family is away, so I am playing.
That's a theme this week. It's a theme this week.
You know what I've learned is to not start a family.
Yeah, I know. We need one guy to be like...
They took off for the week, so I'm hanging out listening to you guys and drinking a little bit.
Love it.
Where's the one guy who's like, my family's out of town and I'm having fun, but I sure do miss them. Like,
or,
that guy doesn't exist.
Or, hey, my family's in the other room and I'm having fun with my family. Yeah. That guy doesn't exist. No. That guy does not exist.
Nope.
Right.
No, that guy does not exist at all.
Right. Terrence, where's your family?
All right, that's a good point.
There you go.
You're right. At home.
Saying.
All right, so,
But I'm a little worried. My wife, she green-lighted me buying Ultimate Conical. What does that mean? I mean, it was like, I kind of want this fun toy, and she's like, okay, yeah, go ahead and get it.
You only had to ask her one time.
She's getting a new car, man.
I was gonna say, yeah. She wants
yeah,
a new
no
kitchen.
Kidding. I was like,
she's loaded up for something. Do you have kids?
I've got 4 kids, so there's no more kids on the horizon.
Wow. Do they all have college funds set up?
Yeah.
More.
They do? How deep in debt are you, besides your mortgage?
Well, I get paid to watch paint dry.
Not the answer.
Yeah. Let's just say that the Conical will be a stretch.
How old's your oldest kid?
Then I wouldn't get it, dude. Pay off your debts first. Live debt-free.
Are you fucking Susie Orman?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Susie Jip. How old's your oldest kid?
Oh, he's 10.
10. And you got 4 of those things. Oh, God.
It's horrible.
Well, yeah. I got twins. And they're 8, and then a stepson who's also 8.
Oh.
Stepson, even, too. So that's the one who's really going to rebel, and he's going to lead all the other kids against the rebellion against you, bro.
Yeah, does he hate you yet, or is that still 2 years off?
Yeah.
Both.
He hates me now, and he'll hate me more in 2 years.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to
get... No more kids. No more kids. They're all done.
I just want to give Matt Drunk of the Week on sympathy.
Well, I don't know, man. I feel like just because he fucked his life up doesn't mean he's fucked up.
Yeah, this is not screwed up.
No. JP, my life is nowhere near fucked up. I have a fucking fantastic life, fucking fantastic wife who wants me to buy an Ultimate Conical.
That's pretty good.
Supports my hobby wholeheartedly.
Yeah, but you can't afford it. She's a siren luring you down into the depths of debt, and you cannot do that! You can't afford it!
JP!
You can't afford it!
Hold on, wait, roll the die, and if it's above 10, it's all good to go.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough.
8.
It's an 8.
Sorry, bro.
Not quite an 8.
You want 2 out of 3?
Okay, roll it again, I got good mana.
Wait, that was a 4, but it
got in the way.
16!
16! It's all good.
Yes!
Right. Yes, good mana.
You survived. Actually, I should have made you crit on that, but that's all right.
Now, maybe she's cool with the Conical and everything, but, 4 kids, you got work, you're busy. When's the last time you got a little vajoon?
When's the last time what, man?
Vajoon. The vajoosh.
Oh,
the vajin.
Actually, to be insanely honest, I got a little something right before she left. So last night.
All right.
There you go.
Matt's doing
this. There you go.
Everybody. All right, Matt. You're in the running for Drunk of the Week, my friend.
Woo!
Later. All right.
Terrence, you can, instead of, we're not in mime class, you can use the microphone right there in front of you.
I was actually trying to...
Oh.
Did he say what he drank?
No, right. Just come right in, man. Say it.
Last call, Suze. Kevin from Temecula. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Anticipation's been killing me.
Yeah. Just waiting for your turn.
Yeah, we're on, guys. We're on.
What, do you got a bunch of dudes hanging out?
Oh, yeah. You knew it, huh?
What is it?
Not as lucky as the last caller last night and everything, but, I mean...
What is it, D&D night?
It hasn't been a year or anything. Not that long.
What does urine have to do with it?
All right. Is it, Is it Dungeons and Dragons night for you and your buds?
No. We're kind of a dungeon, but there's no dragons. We slayed them all.
Mm-hmm. Been LARPing. See?
See?
You know what's a lot more fun is when people with groups of chicks with them call us, because then we get topless chugs instead of conversations about D&D.
Yeah. Instead of weenie rides. Well, put that snatch on the weenie ride. This is what Kevin's doing right now.
They're playing their weenie ride right now.
Who are you talking to?
What are you guys doing? How drunk are you, Kevin?
I don't know. Probably like 5 beers drunk.
Yeah, we're like 5 beers in like a Western bacon.
5 years of Western bacon cheeseburger drunk.
Western bacon cheeseburgers are
if
real
you're
good,
me,
though.
That's real drunk.
That's pretty good.
You won't catch me dead. You'll catch me drunk with a Western bacon cheeseburger, though.
Western bacon cheeseburgers? Insane.
Wait, yeah, that's my brother right there.
Mm-hmm. Brother, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys got pants on?
Yeah, but no shirts. It's like 105 down here.
That's how bros do it. Just talking with their shirts off. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm talking with their shirts off.
It's all right.
SoCal style. Just bring the baby wipes and some natural light. It's a weenie
ride. Oh, yeah. Couldn't sustain, huh?
No. No, he's too good.
Pulled out of that shit early. Right.
Hang on, shut up for a second. No, where's Nate when we need him? I just want Nate to play me this solo.
Over and over.
And make love to me.
Same time?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. All right, kid. Solo.
Thank you. All right, Kevin. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, this is why I'm fucking drunk of the week. Because I drank nothing but my homebrew.
Yeah.
Blind Pig homebrew, which I brewed. And it's almost my birthday, and I fucking picked some homebrewed hops today.
And I taste like I've been eating popcorn all day.
Homegrown hops today. That's my whole thing right there, okay.
All right, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. Bring your brother over near the phone.
All right.
I want your brother to hold the phone up to your his face, and I want
you to hold the phone.
Wait till I tell you what you got to do.
Okay.
With him holding the phone up to his face, I want you to slap him as hard as you can across the face. And if
I'm really gonna slap. I'm not gonna slap your hand. If we're gonna do this, I'm really gonna slap.
It's gotta be on his face.
That would be on the face. I've been waiting for an excuse to slap this little bitch. But wait, hold on. This is for being too funny. This is for being too funny.
Right? All right. Now listen. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Now, Brewer's Code, all right? It's got to be his face. Yeah. I don't want any hand slaps. I need the phone next to his cheek so I can hear it.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be as hard as you can, but it's got to be a good slap.
Should we require a photo of the face afterwards?
Yes. With the red mark? It's going to take too long.
Yeah, you're right.
He did cry on the teacups when we were younger and shit, so if he starts crying on the phone...
I could see how teacups would be like a slap in the face.
That's what's going to happen. He's been known as Crying Ryan.
Kevin, just hit him already!
Is Crying Ryan your younger brother?
Yes, he is, but he's a little bit taller.
Yeah, he looks older.
Well, thank God we got your height.
Who's drunker, Kevin right now or Ryan?
He's about to get slapped, so...
I think Ryan's a little bit drunker.
Yeah, he doesn't have a fucking job, though.
All right, I'm gonna switch it. I'm gonna reverse it right now. I want.
Oh, you son of a bitch! You son of a bitch!
Yeah, I want Crying Ryan to smack his older brother Kevin right across the face. And if he does it,
and if
Kevin takes it like a man, I'll give him Drunk of the Week.
I'm a fucking man.
Alright, hang on now. Is there somebody else there that can vouch for the pressure for the hardness of the slap?
Yeah, we need a witness.
I need a witness.
This guy's been waiting to talk to you for years.
Give me a witness.
It's alright, I'll vouch. I have a giant handlebar mustache.
Who is this? Who is this?
Put your PBR down first. You don't want to spill it.
Alright, now Chris. Now, listen, he doesn't have... Crying Ryan doesn't have to do it as hard as he can, but it's got to be pretty... Like, it's got to hurt like hell, all right?
Yeah, like, he's already fist-pumping, don't worry. He's priming the guns right now.
Now, Chris, you got to vouch that it's a real slap, and if it's a real slap, I'll give Kevin Drunk of the Week.
Oh, definitely. No, yeah, we'll see you at SoCal Homebrew Fest again next year. We'll vouch for that shit.
All right. Now, I need someone to hold the telephone up to Kevin's cheek while Crying Ryan does the slapping.
All right. Count down.
And I want you to follow Kevin with the phone so I can hear the afterward, too.
Yeah.
All right. Count it down.
Ryan, follow through. Don't just stop at the cheek. Push. Follow through.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Sounds good to me.
All right. I want complete silence. I want complete silence in that room. And here's how it's going to go. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and it's after 3 that you do the slap so we all hear it. Okay?
1, 2, and then slap?
It's going to go 1, 2, 3, and then you slap. All right. Are you ready? Kevin, are you ready?
Yes. I'm closing my eyes, man. Okay.
Hey, Ryan, I want you to think about all
the... Let me rub my balls first with my hand.
Do it. That's what I'm talking about, Ryan.
Pull a little poison on the dart.
I want you to think about all the bullshit that your older brother Kevin ever did to you.
Oh, this is like years. This is like 24 years in the making right here.
Hey, yeah. This fucking metal is all of it.
Hey,
yeah, all the time he kissed your balls at night while you were sleeping. all that shit.
All those wedgies he gave you. All the times he embarrassed you. And I want you to give it to his face right now.
Yeah. All the times he took your boyfriend in high school.
All right, everybody ready?
No?
I'm ready.
1, 2, 3.
I think he kind of closed his fist with that one.
Oh, he closed his fist.
Oh, shit. Oh, dear.
Oops.
The beer definitely didn't help the impact. You know, it kind of sobered me up. I think I could drink a couple bit more.
It sounded pretty good. It sounded like a good hit. Did it hurt? Yeah. Kevin, did it hurt?
Yeah, you know, I think I needed that, though. Kind of like, let me loose. I'm a little tight at work and shit.
Nah, I think your brother likes you too much. He didn't unleash on you. I was hoping that years of repressed anger would have come out and he would have knocked your ass out.
Going to start a fight club right here and now.
But he took it like a man. Kevin is your drunk of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Kevin's going to be up in arms about this one. Chat room is already up in arms about that.
I don't care.
Oh, man. I feel like an Olympic gold medalist this year right now.
All right, boys.
It's bigger than that.
Have a good night. Take care of each other now, all right? No more fighting, you shitheads. See you later. There you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, Nico North was
clearly
drunker.
The drunkest. Yeah.
But what are you gonna do?
It's not always about that, though.
I would have voted for Wes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wes was pretty drunk, too. But look, what are you going to do when you get a punch in the face, you know?
Susie's trying to talk.
What's up, Suze?
Wes just spilled beer all over his new laptop.
Again?
He's like gone now. He was crying. He's like, I want to know who wins. How are you going to let me know?
Oh, that's right. He doesn't even know. See, he won't even know that he lost. He's not going to remember. It's fine. It's fine. Let's get out of here. Hey, I forgot to mention, if you're not a member of the American Homebrewers Association, you should be. You can sign up by going to our homepage and click the AHA logo right there on the bottom right of the homepage. And look, AHA is a great organization. They fight for you in government, making sure things stay legal or become legal if you're in a state that it's not even legal to homebrew.
Yeah.
Put on a great event at the National Homebrewers Conference. Support competitions, Big Homebrew Day. I mean, you name it. American Craft Beer Week, they help out with that. I mean, promotion everywhere. Plus, there's a pub discount program. You get Zymergy Magazine, you know, all this for like $38 a year. It's ridiculous. $38 a year, you get Zymergy Magazine, you get all the benefits, and you should be a member of the AHA. If you've ever been looking for a ticket to the Great American Beer Festival, the best way to do it is by the members only session.
Which sold out in like 2 hours.
Yeah,
or
so everything
like
sells
that,
out
less.
Quick.
Yeah.
So do it now. They're a big supporter of the Brewing Network. We've really kind of grown up with them over the years, and they've been fantastic to us. It's the American Homebrewers Association. Go to homebrewersassociation.org or just click the AHA logo right there on our homepage, and you can do it that way. It's so You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I feel you.
I mean, you know. Just all you complainers, we're on the next 2 weeks, so no complaining.
All right.
What was that?
It's a Sunday show next week.
Shit.
Yep. Got a triple voodoo from San Francisco next Sunday, and then after that, it's Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery, so good month coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've never had Garrett on the show.
No. Nope. He's the elusive one.
He was hard to track down, that guy.
I think I've had a recording with Garrett or something, but we never had him on the program.
Hi, this is Garrett. I'm not in right now, but you leave your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as you can.
Yeah, it was awesome. All right. So we'll see you next Sunday. In the meantime, JP, take us out of here.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Follow JP on Twitter at Major Jip if you like random ramblings on topics you don't care about. Moscow has some paintings for sale. Follow Moscow Paints on Twitter for slim to no info on the subject. For some good beer info, insights, and homebrew and more, follow Nate at Nathan Homebrew and Nicole at beer_muse. The Trophy Fire's new album entitled Modern Hearts is available now at graydayrecords.com. Pick that up and support our friend and yours, Mr. Adam. I'm Real Tubby Schumann. And be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.